This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Yeah, well.
We don't even do that when Jimmy goes to Hawaii.
I hear that, and I just have all these visions of Oahu and Waikiki, and I wish
I was there. The closest we do to playing ukulele is when we do Mana Lika Lika Laka Haka Haka from Bette Midler during the holidays.
I know.
However the hell you say that.
Anyway, you're listening to KPFT Houston.
90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up after this next music interlude is going to be Leather Ties.
Ooh, what do we play?
Hold on, I'm supposed to play an advisory.
Yeah, we should for them.
Yeah, look out, people.
Yeah, it's coming.
You're going to get bitch slapped in the show.
Ooh.
Are we ready for leather?
If you're not ready to listen to this stuff, if the idea of leather and gay people and having fun, and a little tickling, and a little this, and a little that bothers you.
Yeah.
KSBJ's...
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Fiddle with your knob until you get either Jesus or Jazz.
That's right. But
or, you know, jiggle the on-off button until it turns off.
It's Leather Ties. It's time for Slap and Tickle.
And I push this button.
Ooh.
Good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties on After Hours. Chris keeps going, okay, you got 1 minute to the song, 30 seconds to the song, 15 seconds to the song, 10 seconds, 3 seconds.
We know this song.
It's like, we know that
I want some more Alison Moyet.
We'll play some more Alison Moyet for you. Good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties. I'm sorry, that was Yaz. Back when Alison Moyet was singing with Yaz.
Back when she was thin and gorgeous.
Oh, please, she was never thin.
Well, compared
she was only
to now.
Ever, she was only ever filmed from the waist up. She
compared to now.
Baby got back.
She still has an incredible voice.
Oh, baby got back, ribs.
Yeah, she's got back ribs, boobs, yeah. If you've ever seen that episode of Graham Norton
Cankles.
She was on, she got stuck in the window buck ass. Yeah, she
lots of hips.
Anyway, this is Leather Ties. Yeah, so. I'm your host, Daddy Bear Robert, along with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Woohoo!
Hi.
In the studio tonight, we have, of course, Baby Bear's here. He's in the mood. He was just discoing his butt off. That was too funny.
I know. That's why I always say that there are certain people in this world who should never dance, and Clayton and I are two of those people who should never dance.
Actually,
no. That's not fair.
He was actually doing all right, you know, for chair dancing, you know.
Yeah, for chair dancing and
now,
being
can you see
old.
Him, see him in an old folks home doing that?
I could in a wheelchair.
And I seem to recall a Louie when you weren't doing too bad cutting a rug.
Uh-huh.
Other left, Kirby. Other left.
Oh. Yeah, well, no.
No,
actually,
I mean the impromptu rope dance.
The first time
I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, you're...
We didn't.
No, the first time I met you at a Misfits ball, and I dragged your ass out on the dance floor because I told Buzz, you know, I'm not going to say anything about your slave until I see him dance. When I see him move, then I'll tell you if he's any good. I was like, okay, you got yourself a hot boy.
Well, it happened to be a song I liked.
Yeah, it was
sorry.
A good song.
A Madonna song.
No, it wasn't.
We have caught you boogieing to Madonna.
Yes, actually, I think that was a Yaz song that I dragged your ass out there for.
Well, I didn't shave my legs tonight just in honor of Madonna, so...
Yeah.
Thank you.
What about the armpits?
always.
Anyway, we're in the studio tonight with the Houston Leather Boys. Chair Monkey Kirby is here, and Boy Joe is here as also representing. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, I'm squeaking the microphone around, sorry. So we're going to be here talking about the Subs Perspective, what the Houston Leather Boys are doing, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Leather Boys have been on before about a year ago.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Wow.
My, how time flies.
I thought it was two.
What? No, yeah, it has been almost. No, you came on 2 years ago, and then you came on last year. So, yeah, I was like, it's probably about time to get the boys back on the air again.
Yeah, okay. We were on around the time that they were talking about Sinfest or something. I remember making a deal to get in the monkey cage, and then after I opened my mouth, I was like, "What did I just say?"
Yeah,
what did I just and get myself in?
And then we got there and saw the monkey cage,
and I was like, "I'm not going in there."
It was a cage for a much smaller monkey.
It smells like poop. I'm not going in there.
Well,
did you want to throw things?
Excuse me, monkeys throw poop, so you know. And by the way, Sinfest this past year, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Sinfest was incredible. Thank you, Lydia, and everybody else. And
poor Lydia.
Darling, we hope you're feeling better. She, while they were setting up the entire dungeon space and everything, she fell down, split her lip open.
Ooh, I'm vibrating.
Broke her ankle, twisted her wrist up, and... So she missed the entire event that she put on because she was in the hospital having her lip stitched back together and brace put on her leg. But when she got back, she was really happy on some morphine or whatever the hell they gave her. So she was like, how's everything? It's like, it's great, honey. Let's get you upstairs to your hotel room and just put you to bed. We're having a good time. Go to bed. Don't worry. So we hope you are feeling much better, dear. So anything you have to say? Oh, one thing I will say, Hardy Haberman, your magic show was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
That was an incredible, especially the dildo trick. That was absolutely incredible. And we're not talking some, you know, pony show or donkey show from Mexico. This was a real magic trick. It involved a dildo. It was great.
He made it disappear, right?
No. He actually made it.
I do that every night.
He made it. No. You have to be there to see it. And the
or not.
He did this version of the rings.
I like your version better, or not.
Or not, yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to touch that one.
Not no. Without a hazmat suit.
No, thank you. No, please, not even with 10 layers of rubber gloves and 2 layers of latex and some neoprene.
Maybe a half an inch of neoprene. Yeah.
Maybe a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. I'd touch it with J-Lube, only because that stuff is so slick, you know, you're not actually touching anything but, like, a layer of slime.
Didn't we have a wrestling pin, like
Yeah, thing? Yeah, you did the J-Lube wrestling thing. That was so nasty.
From what I understand, poor John, he still can't get the J-Lube out of his pants.
Yeah.
I wonder if it ever absorbed into the lawn out there in the outback of Mary's.
It's still slippery, from what I understand.
That whole back corner is where we emptied the pool.
Well, yeah, it's my understanding the grass is real slick out there still. So.
And when it rains, watch out.
Right.
So anyway, we're here tonight with the Houston Leather Boys talking about what the Houston Leather Boys are about. And their mission statement and what they are doing in the community. So... Kirby, let's talk about the Houston Leather Boys.
God, I know, I'm speechless.
That's a first. That's an absolute first.
Kirby with nothing to say.
Kirby with
who'd
nothing
have figured,
to say. Who? Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? Yeah.
So the mission statement of the boys. What are the Houston Leather Boys about? What are you trying to do?
Well, we're unlike some other organizations in the Houston community, we are not a fundraising organization. We are a service organization. What I mean by that is we help other organizations to achieve their goals. We're kind of like the helper monkeys, if you will, of the community. You know,
he is.
Well, you have the longer tail.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Boy Joe has a really long ponytail.
But
yeah, he's into pony play. He's
and it is not people. Prehensile.
No, it's not prehensile. That's only on a really good Saturday night.
Only with cherry coke.
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And by the way, for those of you who are our regular listeners, this is Boy Joe, the one who we killed on the back patio of the Rift Boy that one time.
Yeah. I generally kill him annually.
Yeah. Where we've told that story before, where the little twink goes screaming, running into the bar. Oh, my God, they killed that guy out there because Boy Joe was getting flogged.
Oh, my
flogged.
God, they killed him.
Yeah, and when the cuss came loose and he went swinging around into a tree.
We're actually thinking about legally changing his name to Lazarus.
Right. Ooh, good one.
And the following year, I really did flog him unconscious.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be Kenny, though. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
We called you Kenny for a couple of years there, but I think we need to come up with a better name for you than Kenny.
Kick the baby.
That was Buzz. And by the way, this old man, we're sitting there listening to music, and this is the first time I've ever seen this. Older than dirt person actually turned the volume down because instead of turning it up so he could hear it, he had to turn it down so he could hear it. That was funny.
Older than dirt? Somebody had to invent it.
Well, yeah. And what, Joan Rivers invented fire? I mean, you know. Richard Pryor invented fire. Yeah, you're right.
Buzz, I thought you raised
that
from dirt.
That was so cold. Boy, Joe.
Joan Rivers was the first one to say, let there be light, but damn it, she didn't forget her matches that day.
She should have stayed in the dark, but that's my opinion. But anyway, Houston Leather Boys, we are a service-oriented group of men and women who are... dedicated to service. What I mean by that is helping out where we're needed to be helped, where help is needed. We are basically a group of submissives. That doesn't mean that we like to be told what to do. Hint, hint.
Also keep in mind, a lot of the boys in the Houston Leather Club are collared. The only orders they take are from their doms.
That's true.
If you want them to do something, you need to ask, just like you would ask anybody else.
Right. And when I say that we're service oriented, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you drop your pants,
it doesn't mean you're available for play.
Right. Exactly. Right. You know, don't drop your pants in front of me and expect me to. You know,
well,
be nice to you.
What is it you always say, Buzz? I want to be served, not serviced.
Right.
How about licking my Crocs?
There is a difference.
burn your Crocs. Kirby hates Crocs.
Yeah, Kirby and Clayton have this Croc feud going on.
Yeah,
right
I hate Crocs.
I can probably put this a little more eloquently. The Houston Leather Boys represent serving, not servicing. Some of the boys are collared, some are not. If a boy is wearing a collar, you can bet that somebody owns that collar, and that is the person that they will take orders from. If you want one of the boys to do something for you, don't hesitate to politely ask them. Give them the respect they deserve as human beings and politely ask them. And because they are service-oriented, they're more than likely to respond to that by actually acquiescing to that request. But if you bark an order at a collared boy, don't be surprised if he turns around and says, do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I've heard Kirby say worse. I've heard Boy Joe say worse. So, yes. But that was Boy Joe had a few too many sodas. He was hopped up on caffeine.
It was the Cherry Coke.
It was the Cherry Coke.
Yeah, it was the Cherry Coke.
Back to the gym, Cherry Coke. Already.
I know, right?
Yeah. Cherry Coke. What are you talking about?
So, Houston Leather Boys, you've been around for what, 6 years? 7 years now?
Yeah. Which one?
That sounds good.
No, longer than that. It was 2002, so you've been around seven years.
You ought to know, Robert, you founded the group.
Yeah, it was 2002.
You founded the group, and I came around a year later.
May 2002.
Yeah. Yes.
You're talking about...
The Houston Leather Boys. Not the Lone Star Boys of Leather. Houston Boys of Leather.
My husband is blonde, understand, so he can't remember dates very well.
I said May 2002. I was right.
He's old. He has CRS.
That was Lone Star.
Huh?
That was Lone Star Boys.
No, Lone Star Boys were before that.
No, I was there when they started Lone Star Boys.
Yeah, that was
2001.
You're right, that was 2001.
2001,
2002. That's right.
I thought it was 2000.
It was 2003 then, because that's when the Lone Star Boys folded.
Well, I joined sometime around 2004, late 2004, early 2005.
Yeah, somewhere around
there. Yeah.
So
it's on their website, HoustonLeatherBoys.net.
I have been a member in good standing almost since the conception of Houston Leather Boys, and I've seen it through various
highs and lows.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I was searching for the word. God, every time I get on the radio, I want to talk in English, but I think in German. I don't know why, but it's just weird.
Well, talk in German. I'm sure there's somebody out there who will understand you.
Yeah.
well, yeah, call Wade.
That was a slur. That was mean.
Kirby, talk to us about your membership and what it means to be a member, and how does one become a member of your organization?
Well, I can answer that question first of all by saying what the requirements for a member are. The requirements for a member is you don't necessarily have to be collared. You don't even have to be a full member of the leather community. Even if you're just a little bit curious and you want to know more about us, come hang out with us, learn a little bit about us, what we do. I recommend that people read our website.
Read the website. And there's also a list of books on the website.
Recommended reading. Some things that the gentleman I'm collared to, Master Buzz, we all know Master Buzz, has written concerning... life in leather as far as being a slave or being a submissive. I highly recommend those to be read. They're very informative, and they answer some questions that maybe we as boys are not quite comfortable comfortable with answering, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
There are some boundaries that are discussed there that are better discussed from a dom than from another submissive.
Yeah. Well, I think every family dynamic is very different.
Right.
And so it's really hard to say, okay, these are the set rules, because
there's always variations.
There are a set of public protocols, but when it comes to family protocols, every family has their own protocol.
Exactly. Every family has their own protocols. Like the protocols for my family may not be the same for someone else's family.
Right.
We have a tendency to be a little more formal in certain situations than other people do. We have also a tendency to be a little more lax with our protocols than some families.
I wouldn't say lax. I would say relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a better word.
Because lax to me sounds like you're sloughing off.
Oh, no, there's none of that going on.
Right. Well, that's why I said you relax.
Well, it's the boundaries that are different.
Yeah.
It's what, you know, it's part of what's allowed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's all negotiated. But,
well, a lot of the things that I'm allowed to do, I've actually earned. It's like credit points, you know.
Because you've been good.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
And the thing is that he also knows that because of what we have negotiated, that if I don't find his behavior satisfactory, some of those privileges can be taken away. I can tighten up the collar or loosen it as I see fit as a reward or a punishment. And so far, I swear to God, I have in collar right now, I have two of what I consider to be the best slaves in the country. I'm very comfortable with the service that I get from both of them. They're both intelligent, witty, wonderful people who serve me without question and behave exactly as I have prescribed for them. When they don't, they hear about it.
But getting back to membership, really the only requirement is that you have an open mind and that you're willing to look at both sides of an issue. You know, something that has happened more than once is we get people who come in and they might have seen a video of what they perceive to be a submissive lifestyle to be, and that's what they expect when they come into a meeting for the Houston Leather Boys, and that's not at all what we do.
And the general rating on these videos is what?
X or more.
Triple
yeah.
X?
Things that I would never look at.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Nice Jewish boy that I am.
Right.
I would never, never do that.
Yes, we believe that.
With the lights
the
on.
The guys in the control booth are looking at me like, what are you on crack?
Yeah, Jimmy's rolling his eyes.
Jimmy's like, Kirby, we know you
better
than that.
But then again, it looks like Virgin looks like he's kind of believing you a little bit there.
Well, he doesn't know me.
Fooled one.
Doesn't know me very well.
If you're looking for a spanking, you little pain pig, you're going to have to work harder than that.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Ooh, challenge.
But also keep in mind, Houston Leather Boys, they aren't an escort service. This is about
no. We're not a bunch of rent boys. And when you see someone wearing a collar like I wear a collar. I wear my collar all the time. I wear it to work. I wear it at home. The only time I take it off is when I shower. And then as soon as I'm dry, I put it back on. When you see somebody wearing a collar, do not ever assume that they are for your enjoyment to play with. That's just wrong. It's rude and it's wrong. There are a lot of people in the community who are starting to wear collars who are, how shall I say, for rent.
It's a fashion statement.
For rent.
Yes, for rent.
Oh, really? That's that's a new symbol now.
Yes.
The little hustler boys are starting to wear chains with locks on them, and that's supposed to be their symbol.
Yeah, what I think is funny, though, is anybody in the leather community would automatically assume, okay, he's taken, I'm not touching it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're losing money, honey. Take the damn thing off, okay?
Unfortunately, there are also people in the leather community who have not learned that that is a symbol to be honored and respected. They see that and they go, oh, slave, hey, you, get over here and do this.
I don't know that that's so much the leather community as it is the fetish BDSM community. I mean, we've got to make that distinction. A lot of people
assume. I think it's just people who are uninformed.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a matter of educating.
They think they have an idea of what it is, and they stick to that idea without asking questions or gaining any further knowledge.
Yeah.
And to me, that's sad, because how can you go through life and not learn new things?
I think it's kind of cross-cultural and people who are new to the culture. People who are new to the culture are just unaware of these things, and there are, like Robert was alluding to, there are differences between leather culture and kink culture. And when those cultures combine, you get a cross-cultural view. A lot of the kink people, for some kink submissives, wearing a collar
means I'm a bottom for
means
play.
I'm a bottom and I'm ready to play.
Well, I've never been a member of the kink community or the BDSM community, so I'm not speaking on that because I don't know.
Yeah, we don't work on that end.
And do you on your website, is there anything about how you feel about that?
There are several writings concerning that. There are several postings concerning that.
Also, I think on the front page, it's still there, is a piece that I actually wrote way back when about what it actually means to be a leather submissive.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and there again, that's subjective. Everybody gets their own joy out of it. You know, yeah. Everybody gets something different from being a submissive. Me personally, don't laugh when you hear this, but I'm somewhat of a nurturer. I like to take care of people, and for me, you know, being collared to someone means that I have someone that I can look after and take care of every day, and someone who's my responsibility to make sure that he's, you know, well fed and has, oh God, please let him have coffee this morning, please. You know, that kind of thing.
I am somewhat dangerous without coffee.
Please, yeah. God, let there be coffee in the container, please. You know, the only time I pray is when we're running low on coffee. It's like, oh God, please let
there
be.
Is there enough to make at least half a pot so I can at least get him one cup and run to the store? Yeah.
You know. Are these things as far as, you know, what it means to be a boy and service and all of this, are these some of the things that you work on with the group?
We do generally our meetings.
Go ahead.
Generally, our meetings.
I think
are,
Buzz had chicken for dinner is what he's trying to.
Oh, jeez! And I'm sitting next to him.
I know what you're saying.
I forgot the question.
Are these things that you discuss in your meetings, or when you boys get together?
Oh, yeah.
You discuss these things with one another about. I mean, there's got to be different opinions even amongst the submissives.
There
about
is
what it means.
There are differing opinions, and you know, me personally, that's what I celebrate. I celebrate the differing opinions because I learn something from people. It's like we have a member now who has a different opinion than the rest of us as far as you know what we should be doing on a daily basis, but I'm not going to go there.
That's you digress. Just rude.
Yeah, I digress. But differing opinion, like I said, you know, the joys of being a submissive, everybody gets something different out of it, and those differences is what actually makes us a diverse group, because everybody gets something out of it, but we all come away with something different in the end, and it's actually quite joyful, the whole experience of being with the other submissives and being with the other boys. I find it quite a joyful experience because I'm with people who aren't going to judge me or expect things from me that I'm not willing to give.
People who are like-minded.
Yes. Like-minded. And we're, as humans, we all cling to people who are like-minded, you know. Whether it be, you know, intellectually like-minded or artistically like-minded.
Yeah, it's what was I going to say?
I don't know.
There's four, like, personalities that this is some of these highfalutin.
You're like A-type personality and all that stuff.
There are four of them. What, two of them are called dominant. The other one's called something else. I forget what it is. But it essentially boils down, if you read the description, it sounds like submissive. There's two others that are halfway in between. I thought it was very funny when I saw that at work. They passed these things out describing the four different types of personalities, and it really is true that there are people who like to say what is, you know, what people are going to do, drive things around, basically the dominant types of personality, and there are those who like to just say, okay, you lead, I'll follow. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that exists. And of course, there's the folks in between who really don't like either one, so that's the hard time. I think in our world, what we're dealing with is the two extremes, the dominant and the submissive personalities. And we like to admit, not just admit, but relish our personalities.
But there are also some submissive who are rather dominant in their personalities.
I was just about to ask, does being a submissive mean that you're a weak person or a weak-minded person?
Oh, absolutely not.
You're an example of it.
Who?
You.
Oh, okay. Thank you, I guess.
I'm not sure where that went.
You are a very strong-willed person. Yeah, I guess. I am.
Let me clarify my point by stating for those listening who don't know these two boys, the two boys that we have in the studio right now are both college-educated people. These are not weak-minded people. These are people that I know personally to just feel an innate need to serve. Not necessarily that they can't do things on their own, they couldn't make it on their own, it's just they just have an innate need to serve.
And what he means by serve is, it's a lot of people have the misconception that when Master Buzz and I are at home, it's like he barks order after order after order after order at me. That's not the way it is.
I don't have
to. There are certain expectations because we negotiated that, and we should probably talk about negotiation next.
Yeah.
But we negotiated these things, that there are certain expectations that he has of me, but on the other hand, there are certain expectations that I have of him being the master as well.
Right.
And that is perfectly acceptable, however they are negotiated.
These expectations are negotiated. Before that caller went on, we negotiated what are your needs? Here are my needs. How do we get together and meet both needs in this relationship? Everything about our relationship is negotiated. So yes, he has the right to expect certain things of me, things that I agreed to do as part of our relationship. Now, these are things that you boys all discuss when you get together. You basically act as a support group for submissives, right?
Yes.
Well,
somewhat.
Somewhat support group, somewhat mentoring,
yeah.
Educating. It's kind of all together. It's everything.
Well, the
yeah, it's
what the dream is, the dream that we're heading towards is we'd also like to be the kind of group that if one of our members is in trouble, whether it be financially, medically, or whatever, that we could try to provide some assistance for that person.
Mobilize.
Yeah, whether it be on a short-term basis. There was a guy a couple of years ago who was a member of our troop, and he was homebound because he was ill, and I would go after work every day, mm-hmm. Take care of, look after his needs, fix him some lunch, fix him some dinner, whatever he needed, walk his dog, do a little shopping for him, whatever he needed, and then check in with him as the day progressed. He has since passed, but, we miss him dearly, but those are the kinds of things that we do. Not only do we look after each other as members of the troop, but we look after friends and family members and people that we consider family members, because I tell you what, the people that I chose as my family I like a lot better than the ones I was born with.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, I know I can.
I was going somewhere. These things are all discussed on your website, I know.
Yes.
What does it take to become a member? And what are the benefits of membership?
Well, first of all, you've got to have the heart of a submissive. It's got to be there. I mean,
what about those people who may not quite know that they do, but are curious? Can they become members?
Well, that's the whole point,
yes.
I think, of the group.
Yeah, that's
it's somewhere they can go to learn and find out, is this what I really need in my life?
Is this who I am? There's really not an outlet for people other than our group to find out where they fit in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whether you're a submissive or whether you're a dominant or whether you're just somebody who is curious about it, Houston Leather Boys is a good place to learn.
Yeah.
To start the learning process.
Well, I know some other groups, I won't mention names, but there are other social clubs and organizations that when you literally fill out the application to become a member, it flat out asks you, are you a top, are you a bottom, are you a dom, are you a sub, are you gay, are you straight?
Yeah, and we don't ask that.
With the Houston Leather Boys, it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, what do they call it now, heteroflexible? You know, which to me just says bisexual.
No, that's the new term for metrosexual.
Which was the old term. It was bisexual, then it was metrosexual.
So are you heterosexual? So are you? Are you? Are you? What? David Beckham light? basically. I don't know.
You're,
but,
you're a spice guy. You're not a spice girl, right?
Well, did you just come out of Cirque du Soleil? You're that
anyway,
flexible?
I don't like it that they use hetero flexible.
Well, I think
why isn't it homo flexible?
Yeah, because that's where they're going with it. Yeah.
But to answer the question,
it doesn't matter if you're male or female.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're male. Doesn't matter if you're female. Doesn't matter. I mean, transgendered. I don't care if you're curious and you honestly have a desire to learn where you fit in. Please come join us. You know, look at our website first. Decide if it's something that you want to do, and then, you know, my contact information is in the website. Click on. Contact us, and it goes directly to my email. And I will answer any and all questions that you might have. Please, serious inquiries only. Don't ask me how big I am, because I'm not answering those questions.
I'm glad you alluded to that, because you said something a little earlier, and I would like for you to clarify that. You talked about people who had seen a XXX video about what leather is like, mm-hmm. and that's what their impression is.
But that
if
is
that's
not
what their
leather.
Impression is, and that's what they're looking for, would
then
you recommend
keep, then
Leather
keep
Boys?
Looking, then keep looking, because that's not what we're... That's not, that's, chances are that's not what you're looking for, and chances are you're probably not going to be a good fit for us.
If you're looking...
Or we're not going to be a good fit for you either.
Right. If you're just looking to be a sexual play toy, there are organizations that that put on play parties, and that's all they do, is the BDSM and the kink aspect of the life that we live. And that's all they're interested in. They wear leather as a costume. They don't live leather as a lifestyle.
That's going to be my next expose, by the way.
To me, leather is not an article of clothing. It's
a state of mind.
It's a state of mind.
It's a state of heart.
It's a being. It's a state of being. It's who I am. You know, I mean, I can be wearing sneakers and shorts and still be leather, because that's who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Why are you shaking your head?
I was nodding at Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's do that one. I brought this one. We're going to take a break now on this topic. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about negotiating contracts and some other actual
educational
information.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Courtney.
We
Hi, Courtney.
Love you, Courtney.
Yes, we
not
do.
That Courtney. Not that
I know.
Courtney.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
I brought this one just for Buzz because it's a massive throwback, but it's also one of my favorites. And even though this song is 23 years old...
Quit picking on my age.
No, this song is 23 years old, and I danced my butt off to it, and it still sounds as fresh today as it did 23 years ago, and it probably sounds a lot better than any of the crap you listen to on the radio now.
What is it? Bay City Rock...
Go.
Welcome back to After Hours, the year on the Leather Tie segment. I'm your host, Daddy Bear Robert, along with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
Baby Bear's here somewhere. I think he's still outside. We are here
tonight. Foraging.
He's foraging. He's getting coffee.
Yes. We are here tonight with the Houston Leather Boys.
Woohoo!
Chair Monkey Kirby.
Woohoo!
Boy, Pony Boy Joe.
Pony Boy.
Yeah, well, you're the one with the ponytail. You're Pony Boy.
Careful.
Wasn't that a character in Rumblefish? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Pony Boy, yeah, Rumblefish.
No, that was the book Reds.
Oh, that's okay.
No.
Yeah, there was a character in the book Reds named Pony Boy.
No, it was the
Pony Boy.
It was the porn version of that movie, of that book. So the first song we listened to, that was Art of Noise off of their album Visible Silence. I'm sorry, Invisible Silence. And that song was called Legs. The second song we listened to was Do You Want Me? That's off of Christine W's new album, The Power of Music. If you don't have it, go get it. You're a fag. You'll love it. Trust me. So, there's not a bad song on Christine W's new
maybe
album.
Maybe I should turn in my gay card, because I don't like that kind of music.
Christine?
I've already turned in my gay card for that reason.
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of music. It's annoying. It's the same phrase repeated over and over
and same,
over
and the same
and
beat
over.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The same
monotonous. Point.
It's all sampled.
I'll get you some George Strait.
No, thank
no,
you.
No.
I don't want George Strait. I want George Gay.
Now, talk about Rammstein. Get him some Rammstein. He'll love you forever.
Metallica. Put some Metallica on. I brought
some Praga Khan just for you.
Oh. ELO.
Kirby is a... Oh, good Lord. What are you talking
what
about?
What is that?
I love ELO.
What is that?
Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh, my God. Nerd music. I used to beat people like that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't figured this out yet, people, Kirby is a heavy metal fag.
Yeah, he's a heavy metal fag. And
yeah, and my happy, my Baby happy Bear, music is Godsmack. So.
Yeah, Baby Bear loves OMD. That's Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
I know OMD.
ELO.
I love those.
Asia.
Ooh.
Anything with an abbreviation
Queen.
In it?
Queen, Toto.
Asia the group or Asia the album by Steely Dan?
No, Asia the group.
Asia the group. Oh, okay.
You know, mm-hmm. On Africa, that song.
Oh, God.
Well, that was my time period of growing up. So.
Yeah.
It was mine, too, but I kind of, like,
bypassed it.
Shot over that, I think.
Well, that was when I was a twink going to the bars.
That was perfect Twinkie dancing music.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God, when I was a twink.
God, I was
bars,
tasteful
was
even
Donna
then.
Summer.
I was tasteful even then.
Oh, listen to you.
I had taste even then.
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
I'm not even going to
I'm not
go
going to say a word. I'm just going to refer to that time.
I have always been a tasty boy.
I'm going to refer to that time you were standing by the pole dancing your ass off, singing every single word in the song, and I walked up to you and I said,
I did not know it was Madonna.
I thought you hated Madonna. Oh, I can't stand her. She's a bitch. She's a whore. She's a slut.
You certainly love this song, don't you?
And I said, well, then why are you standing here singing along and dancing to Madonna? This is not Madonna. Yes, it is. I had to drag his butt over to the jukebox and prove it was Madonna, and he just absolutely freaked out. Now, every time we're out, we'll go out beering or something, and...
Every time
Kirby,
a song
will come on and Kirby will start moving, then he'll stop and go, he'll look at me and goes, is this Madonna? And I go, no, it's not Madonna. And then he'll go, okay, cool. And then he'll be off, you know.
Okay, I know nothing of popular culture, sorry. Popular culture to me equates vapidity, and I despise vapidity.
Okay, so back to the Houston Leather Boys.
Oh my God, I'm using
big
words again.
Vapidity.
Yeah, well. Back to you.
Isn't that a laundry detergent?
If not, it should be.
No, that's a bleach for your hair. Yeah. That is Clairol's new color, Vapidity. We call that Ultra Blonde.
No, we call that FOT in our house.
I'm not going to say.
I thought it was Cheer with Vapidity.
Yeah, Cheer with Vapidity. What, Chris, what are you covering your mouth for?
Nothing.
You look like you're biting your tongue trying not to say something.
No, I'm getting high off chlorine smells.
Not going to say a word, but we don't call it chlorine. It's called video head cleaner, otherwise known as poppers, okay?
Yeah, I had a pool party beforehand. Just,
oh, hey, sexy. Hey, God, you look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. That is so cute.
Oh.
No, that's great. That's a good look on you.
It is a good look.
It's going to be a bitch to keep up because you're blonde. I used to do this. I'm sorry.
Underneath.
Yeah, somebody here has who that. Is this furry blonde bear comes walking in here, and he's got dark hair and dark eyebrows and a dark goatee thing going on here, and you dyed all your body hair too, didn't you? No. Okay.
That's just naturally.
Broken. Oh, okay. It's just him.
I see roots.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I've been working 40 plus hours.
You got some Alex Haley going on there, but
yeah, Alex Haley.
Don't look now, but your goatee has roots.
And they're purple. No, I like that purple undertone. That's pretty cool. You know, his roots are purple on his head. That's a trip.
Well, like any good Aquarius, I can't, you know, grow normal hair colors.
No, of course not.
Mikey's showing his root?
Yes, and they're purple. Look. Look at his hair. It's purple.
It's burgundy.
Burgundy. They're flamingo pink is what they are.
No, it's not flamingo pink.
Yeah, it was flamingo pink. He just put the black on there to try to cover it.
No, you're looking at Jimmy's shirt. It's flamingo pink.
No, yeah. No, that's Barbie pink.
No, I did flamingo pink. This was supposed to be lavender, and then I used
it. It's blush.
Blush.
Kirby, the one who says that he doesn't have a gay card, is calling this dude's hair blush.
No, Jimmy's shirt is blush.
Oh, blush.
Yeah.
Is that blush or bashful?
I'm not used to seeing.
What is that nail color? Jungle red?
Back to the.
Sorry, inside joke.
I never heard the words Jimmy and blush used in the same sentence before.
Right. I have once, but that's only because the cop caught him.
Oh.
Yeah, that was that third floor bathroom of the Galleria. I know you.
Actually, it was the Americana building.
Oh, okay. I was only joking. You're the one that spilled the beans on that one.
And he only took his mouth off of that thing long enough to say, hey, turn off the disco, would you?
No, he took his mouth off it long enough to say, I've already got a pair of handcuff keys. These ain't going to hold me. So, the Houston Leather Boys are here tonight with us.
Are we? I lost track.
Just to warn y'all. In about 4 minutes, I have to stop and play two PSAs, so we've got to step out for 2 minutes. So just
that's fine. We know.
Mark a plug in there.
I'm watching the time.
We'll watch as you wave your arms. Oh, Chris wants to say something.
Yeah, so what we were saying before we went on our little musical interlude.
And got carried
didn't
away.
Even get a rise out of Jimmy for saying that. Okay.
You didn't check to see if he got a rise out
I
of that.
I got to ask you this question. That's
what?
Honestly what you think is sexy.
What?
A dirty T-shirt and... Never mind.
No. Like I said, he looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
I never liked Shaggy. I always thought Shaggy needed a job.
Yeah, he did. Oh, give me a break. Okay, somebody's signing something really cool.
That was mean.
Yep. That's why I signed it.
That was mean.
Okay.
But anyway, back to
looking at me like, what?
I do know sign language. I just couldn't catch the letters quick enough.
I couldn't see because of Robert's hint.
And I thought I was going slow.
But back to Houston Leather Boys.
Okay. Up high. Okay.
What we basically are is we're... I'm not going to call it a support group because I don't like the term support group.
It's a fraternity, I think.
Yeah.
Not in a college booze kind
not,
of way,
yeah,
but...
We do that, too.
But I'm thinking, my God,
our birthday parties are legendary.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's more like a brotherhood. It's
more like a fraternal order kind of thing. You know, we support each other emotionally. We sit around, we discuss certain aspects of the life of being in service. We exchange ideas with each other. We have something, and we haven't actually done it in a while because everybody's work schedule seems to be conflicting with one another. But we used to do a thing once a month called Babble, which is boys and boys blending life experiences,
mm-hmm.
and that was always really, really rewarding for everyone involved because we would bring other people from other parts of the community in, give them their 15 minutes of fame, as you, if you will, and then just rip them to shreds with all kinds of really interesting questions for them that they weren't sometimes prepared for. Boys can be devious. I don't know if you know.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I do remember actually doing a couple of classes.
Yeah, yeah.
For Babel, and you had a newbie there that was just, well. And the first thing, he was afraid to even ask me.
Yeah.
He turned to one of the other boys and says, well, if I'm a leather boy...
Would you ask for me?
Would you ask for me? But if I'm a leather boy, do I have to do all that? And it's like, no, you don't have to do all that.
Like, why are you asking me? Ask him.
Yeah. But he was afraid of me.
But
because of the subject matter. Because I was reviewing...
It was a little intense.
Different what types you were of doing fetish was a play. Intense, it was yeah. very intense for somebody who was very new to the scene, but...
But see, there again, you know, we stress education. Our group, we stress education among the groups and within the community. It goes back to, if you don't know, ask. And if we don't know, we will find out for you.
Right.
You know, and that's to me that's the most rewarding part of being part of the Houston Leather Boys is the community involvement, the camaraderie, and the education that's involved in it. Because as long as I've been in the life of leather, I always walk away with something that I hadn't thought of before. For example, you know, my brother in leather, Joe. I learned something new from him almost all the time, and I hope that, you know, I set an example like that where other people can learn things from me. I don't always think I achieve that goal, but I try.
No, you achieve that goal even when you screw up, because then they say, "See, now don't do that."
Yeah, I'm the don't be. More often than not, I'm the don't be.
No, if you were more often than not, if you were the don't be, you would not be collared to that man right there.
That's true.
Okay, Kirby, how do you become a member?
Well, after you've gone through, you know, looking at the website and you know, examining everything that that website has to offer, coming to a few of the meetings, asking a few questions, deciding for yourself if this is what you want to do, then we require an essay on what it means to be a boy.
To you.
Not what it means to me to be a boy, or not what it means to Joe. Not what you think we want to hear. We want to know what you think, what your ideas and what your thoughts and what tells you in your heart what it means to be a boy. You don't necessarily have to use the terminology that we use. Whatever terminology you're comfortable with is fine, as long as we know where your heart and your head are.
Yeah. Does anything in that essay is... Is there something that they can say in that essay that is going to automatically exclude them?
Okay, let's stop right there. We need to do some PSAs. That's a good question to end on, and we'll come back, and Kirby will answer that.
Okay. You're listening to KPFT Houston, After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. We'll be right back.
When you listen to KPFT, you hear things that you would expect to hear on a community radio station. Relevant news, the arts, great music.
But when you tune into KPFT, you also hear things you wouldn't expect. You hear different perspectives that make you think about our world in a new way.
Pacifica's mission statement is about building understanding between nations and people. What you hear on KPFT can have a profound effect on how you live.
You listen to KPFT because it expands your understanding of yourself and of the world. And we can continue to bring you great ideas and culture because listeners like you contribute.
So why wait for a pledge drive to support KPFT? Give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000, extension 314. Again, that number is 713-526-4000, extension 314, to speak to our membership department and become a member.
This is listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
Most internet websites are a jumble of hyperlinks, plugins, and jargon. But at kpft.org, you can find exactly what you're looking for. kpft.org is your community radio station's website, and we feature all the materials you need to enhance your listening experience. Get complete descriptions of programs, find playlists from your favorite music shows, listen to us via the web, or download archives of your favorite shows. You can even pay or renew your pledge online. By visiting kpft.org, you can also receive e-news sent right to your inbox. KPFT's site is the best way to keep up with your community radio station, so mouse on over to kpft.org anytime. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored, Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
This futile.
And we are well. We are back.
I don't think we're well.
We're not well. We're all sitting here in the sound booth with our headphones on our foreheads and the back of our heads pretending we're bored to polka music. Okay.
Actually, that sounded more like a horror to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was kind of like polka horror. Is that like...
You poker. Wait, I didn't want to.
Polka horror. Okay, wrong. Okay.
Getting horrible.
We're on the wrong corner for that.
We are just going further and further and further into the dregs.
You need to go hit like 5th and Main or, you know, the Pierce Elevator for that.
Go back to bed. I'm not sure.
What do you mean go back to bed? I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, but really.
The question that we left on is, you said that you require an essay,
right,
about what it means to them to be a boy or to be a slave. How is there anything that they can say in that essay that's going to automatically disqualify them? What is the purpose for the essay?
Or absolutely not.
Well, automatically disqualify them or automatically say, oh yeah, okay, you're in.
Absolutely not. The essay is not, and I repeat, not a job interview. It's not a job application. You know, we're not gonna look at something that someone's written and go, oh my God, they've got to be kidding. It just lets us know what kind of education that person might need, where their head is, where their heart is, what kind of motivation they have, or what kind of motivation they need. One thing about Joe here, and this is something that I've always admired about him. He's a very good motivator. Extremely good motivator. He motivates me to try to do the very best that I can. Cause
it's like Wipeout.
Good night and big balls. No, it's not. No, I don't mean the swinging pendulum kind of motivator. Okay.
Always the rocket scientist.
That was basically that whole segment there was for a targeted audience. For those of you who actually watched the show, Wipeout.
I'm not a big TV watcher, and I am so addicted to Wipeout. I don't know why. I guess it's the Schadenfreude aspect of the whole television thing. And right after that comes I Survived a Japanese Game Show, and I want to go to Japan so bad.
Oh, no.
Torture.
Really?
Yeah, torture. Oh, my God.
So you turn in your gay card for a redneck card.
What, it's Japan?
The Schadenfreude aspect of those two shows is why they sell.
Yeah, I know, but...
Yeah, reality shows. Ugh,
getting back on track, the essay that we require, shut up, Robert, it's not by any stretch of the imagination...
He cut his mic off,
a
man.
Job application.
I'm out of the way now.
It's basically... you know, it's kind of like when you do
kind of figuring out where the boys can help.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you do your testing in school, so that the administrators in your school can see what you need to work on, what strengths you have, and what weaknesses you have. Mm-hmm. That's basically what we use the essay for. A group of us get together, and we one or two of us might read the essay, and we might discuss it and say, well, I think this person needs a little work here, maybe a little more development here, maybe have this question answered for them, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're bringing in a fresh perspective.
Yeah, and a fresh perspective, it's always a good thing, a fresh perspective, because some of us... me in particular have been so jaded, it's like, yeah, whatever. You know, I hear people call my name, and it's like, yeah, I'm ugly, whatever. You know, get over it.
But I think it's also the constant challenge.
Yeah. That's another thing
that's
for me.
One thing I love about this lifestyle is every time you learn something new, it's a new challenge to see how you can incorporate that into your life.
It's like, oh, I can't wait to try that. You know, I can't wait to try that. But I was going to say, as far as, you know, we were talking earlier about the benefits of being a member of the Houston Leather Boys. To me, that's one of the benefits, is the constant challenge and the building of skills and the building of your level of growth and everything.
Furthering your leather journey.
Yeah, exactly. Furthering your leather journey. And as we all know, a life period, whether it's in leather or out of leather, is a constant journey. It's full of pitfalls and rewards, and you know, it's like with anything, there's good things and there's bad things in it. But
yeah. How do the principles of leather apply to
squeak?
Why don't you answer that? I've been talking long enough.
Yeah, I think there are lots of rules and protocols and things like that that people like to use. You know, follow this rule, that rule. To me, I always try to get things down to basics, just really high level. Why do we do these things? Why do we serve?
Yeah, where's the payoff?
And to me, of course, the reward is in the service, being told that somebody's proud of me. But the thing is, every time something new comes along and you wonder, how does this fit into my leather life? I wonder, well, how overall, what is the big picture here? How does it fit into a life of service? And how do I serve somebody in this way, in this particular situation? And sometimes it's kind of challenging.
And Joe, I'd like to put this next question to you. How do you think, what do you think the benefits are for collared submissives and uncollared submissives separately in this group?
I think that one of the things that I've always felt a lot for is that the uncollared submissive is one of those people that's kind of ignored a lot from the point of view of how do they fit. And I still don't know the answer to all of that.
Right.
But for the person who is seeking to find a relationship to be collared, it's kind of a challenge. And I'd still like to try to figure out how that is going to work.
Well, there are challenges for those of us who are collared as well.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
Some people are just challenged.
Now, what I'm thinking, and you, either one of you, if you wish, can correct me if I'm wrong, for an uncollared submissive, it would seem to me that the benefit of belonging to such a group would be to belong somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's for all of us, whether we're collared or uncollared.
If you're collared, you know where you belong.
Yeah, we do, and that's the advantage.
But right. That's one of the advantages, but also being collared, it also gives us a place where we can go and you know, decompress.
That's right. What I was just getting ready to say. Yeah. It gives you a chance to be able to get away from the actual relationship and be able to bond with each other.
Well,
and
no, you never actually get away from it reminder. But
no, I don't mean it. I don't mean escape it. I mean,
right.
I mean having a moment to be
having
able
your
to
own time.
Having your own time that's yours specifically, and that's how I mean escape.
Okay,
that's sort of. We can take it from two directions. You're taking it from one direction, from the collared person, into how do I, you know, break loose for a little bit. From the other direction, the single, the uncollared submissive is how do I belong somewhere? And hopefully the Houston Leather Boys can provide a place to belong.
Well, there's a protection factor involved,
you know,
as well.
A protection factor.
Well, I think it's not so much. Well, yeah, there's a big protection factor. Yes, I see that and I understand
safety
that.
Safety in numbers.
Safety in numbers, yes. But it's also a chance for somebody who is not collared
to be around collared subs.
To observe the behaviors.
To observe
and yes,
the behavior. And,
exactly.
Okay, so you are collared. This is your contract. These are your responsibilities as a collared sub. Is that for me? And what you negotiated in your private contract, there are things that they can take, things that they say, no, that's going to be a limit for me. But it's a way for them to observe a working relationship between a dom and a sub, a master and a slave, and really come to grips with, is this really my life? Is this where I need to go? And if so, how do I get there? And you are there to help support them and show them and teach them and give them ideas.
There again, that falls into what I was talking about education. Because...
But I think one of the biggest education
because the lines
aspects
of
is just watching a collared sub.
But also communication. The lines of communication are always open. It's if you were a novice and you came to the group and you had a question about my relationship with Master Buzz, you had a chance to observe my relationship with Master Buzz, I would answer any and all questions that you have. Also, Master Buzz would make himself available to answer questions that I didn't feel I was qualified to answer.
Glad you're volunteering
frankly,
him for that.
Frankly, as part of our negotiated contract, he is not permitted to answer questions about our personal relationship. He's supposed to refer those to me. But in my observation, the benefit for an uncolored slave of such a group would be in that not just the camaraderie and being able to observe you, but being protected from getting into destructive relationships because they don't feel pressed to get into a relationship.
Yes.
But because they also have
and
an
they
educational
have
aspect there that they are learning the difference between a play toy and a true relationship.
I'm not going to mention any names here, but
either.
I have seen many an uncolored boy waltz in and out of abusive or bad relationships because they don't have that base knowledge, they don't have that support behind them, and this
Well,
group,
10 years ago, that was me. I walked into a relationship that I had a lot of trouble getting out of because he dangled a collar in front of me, and I thought, oh, wow, what a pretty collar. Let me wear that for a while. And
well, wasn't it also a thing to feel like you belonged?
At first,
Where the Houston Leather Boys is kind of that place.
Well, we're kind of
a way of not having to
make those mistakes.
Right.
Yeah, it's a buffer so that you don't have to make those mistakes and learn the hard way like a lot of us had to.
Right.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but I was thinking along those same lines. For an uncollared sub to belong, it would give him or her the opportunity to, with from the group, to find out who is a responsible master and who isn't.
Exactly, because that knowledge would be passed on through the members of the through the regular members of the other group, and also from our associations with other people who have had problems with.
Now, I would like to speak to the heart of the uncollared sub. And as a master, I started out as a slave, so I know your heart. The uncollared sub, this group is going to help you find, who am I? What do I need? How do I find what I need and not fall for what I don't? And
or be abused for...
Right. And just like Kirby, one of my first relationships in leather, I was a captive slave. Not by choice. I was captive. I was kidnapped and held captive. And I fell into that relationship thinking that this man was a wonderful person. And thinking that's how it was supposed to be. If there had been a group then that I could have belonged to, that group, as my brothers, could have prevented me from falling into that trap.
That's what we try to do. We try to prevent others from falling into the traps that a lot of us have fallen into.
Now, I do
We
also
have a pretty good success rate, actually.
I do want to touch on two things.
I didn't do it.
Okay, I want to touch on three things.
I swear I didn't do it.
Two danglies and a nibble.
It
come on.
Wasn't me.
No. One thing is that get to know the Houston Leather Boys. Go to their meetings. Educate yourself. Ask questions. Find
Check
out if it's really
website.
You. There are subs in this community that go in and out that have gone into the Houston Leather Boys and learned and realized, okay, I don't think this is where I am at and what I need, but now I have the education that I need to further my journey, whether or not it's leather or not, and they may leave the Houston Leather Boys.
Well, the ones who made that decision, they came to me and they told me that it wasn't exactly what they were looking for,
right.
That they were looking for something a little more physical, and that wasn't what we were providing. But they did express how much they appreciated the time and effort that we all put into answering their questions and helping them with decisions. And
okay, let's call the elephant in the room exactly an elephant. They were looking for a hookup.
They were looking for sex.
Yes.
And we're not a hookup service.
But one thing that the Houston Leather Boys do also provide when it comes to education, not only just leather education, but kink and play education, how to negotiate a scene, if you are going to play and be a sex toy, here's how to negotiate a scene properly. Here's how to be safe with it.
Well, that is part of the educational process. All of that information is on our website as well.
Right.
But again, you know, that's why I would like to reinstate. I would like to restart the babble that we were doing. It was so successful. I mean, I still have people coming up and asking me, when are you guys going to do babble again? When can I be involved in this? Because I'd like to do a presentation, or I'd like to sit in and learn something. And we're all trying to really, really work hard to clearing our work schedules to where we can give the time for the opportunity.
Now, one other thing I also wanted to mention with the Houston Leather Boys, I think the Houston Leather Boys is the one that started this, and it's taken off with all the different boy groups across the country. The Houston Leather Boys started a Daddy's Auxiliary.
Yes.
And the Daddy's Auxiliary comprises of DOMs in the community, who are respected DOMs in the community. So not only do you have the boys there, but as a sub, but the boys also have a network of DOMs trustworthy.
May I clarify
the boys
something?
Can refer, say, hey, this is a question that a DOM should answer.
Well, I want to clarify something about the Daddy's Auxiliary. Okay, a lot of people are under the misconception that the Daddy's Auxiliary, that they're actually running the Houston Leather Boys behind the scenes. That is absolutely not the case.
The Daddy's Auxiliary
is basically there. If we run into a brick wall that we can't deal with, that's what they're for. The Daddy's run, Master Buzz and you, Daddy Bear Robert, are
members of the Daddy's Auxiliary.
Guardians ad litem.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, you're basically
we're there in the background, and if you need us, there.
You're basically advisors, and if somebody has a question that I or Joe or James or whoever can't answer, we can always come to you and say, what do you think, or what should the answer be, or how should we deal with this problem. But the final decision is always ours.
Yeah.
We don't do anything concerning Houston Leather Boys that they tell us to do. They don't tell us to do anything.
We can't tell you to do anything. We can only, if you come to us with and say, what is your opinion or what would you suggest, then the boys take it back and they have a membership meeting and they say, okay, well, these are some of the options we didn't think of that one of the DOMs thought of, so what do y'all think of this? And the boys will shoot it down, or they'll say, well, we like this part of it, but let's not do that part of it. And the club is run by the boys. The Daddy Auxiliary basically started out as a thank you to all the DOMs.
And one more thing I'd like to clarify, that even though I'm known as the chair monkey, we really don't have a leader. We're all leaders in the group. Because it's kind of difficult for a group of subs to have a leader. Yeah. I mean that's kind of an oxymoron.
Okay, the reason you're the chair monkey is because you get to be the face out front.
Yeah, I'm probably the most well-known member of the Houston Leather Boys.
At Louis, when they call for the Houston Leather Boys to accept some kind of an award or recognition,
Where's Kirby?
Everybody looks to you to be the face of the
Houston
Leather Boys.
I mean, Joe had to do it this year, and nobody recognized him.
Oh, yes, they did. We remember the girlfriend in Canada.
They didn't remember Boy Joe until he turned around and they saw the ponytail. Like, oh, him. Okay, yeah. That Houston Leather Boy, the ponytail guy.
Well,
yeah,
I had to
we
jump
know
up and down and scream.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, we just had Ace Weekend, last weekend?
Oh,
and God, we had so much fun.
The Houston Leather Boys are represented there, and the Houston Leather Boys did a reception at Ace. How did that go?
Actually, quite well. Our cocktail lasted, 15 minutes?
It was supposed to last a half an hour.
Yeah.
They couldn't fill the cups fast enough for the people who were taking them off the table.
They just
people were taking them like four or five at a time.
Well, of course, it was 100 degrees at the time.
But again, that is. But then again, with the Houston Leather Boys, whenever they do a reception, they always come up with the coolest tasting.
Well, see, we have.
And what was it? You can't use that word.
No.
Uh-oh, can't use that word.
No.
It's the a reception.
Smurf bleep.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say that we have a reputation of when you partake of one of our cocktails that your tongue is a different color for at least 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
At Louis, it's blue.
It doesn't matter how often you brush your teeth or brush your tongue, it's going to be blue for at least 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the people in San Antonio, the people in San Antonio got to experience that, and I got an email from someone that I met while I was in San Antonio, and he emailed me back, and he says, "You SOB, my tongue is still green." And it's been a week.
The boys told him, "Don't drink so much."
The boys cocktail was a delightful coconut mint combination.
Woo. What'd you call it? Gangrene? Come on.
No, it was.
I can't tell you.
They always come up with the most disgusting names for their drinks.
This was boy juice to clean it up.
Okay, it was boy juice. Okay,
and that's cleaning it up.
Yeah. Stuff,
right? Yeah. Okay. I know.
The thing is this drink was the equivalent of at least a double.
It was powerful.
Very powerful.
Extremely powerful.
There was one poor guy. We felt so sorry for him.
Oh my God.
He stood right next to the table, and he kept refilling his cup. Taking another one, refilling his cup. He must have had at least 8 of them.
And then he took one step and fell, right?
Well, he was flat on his face.
I said, "Okay, you love the boys now. You're going to hate him in the morning."
And he missed the first part of the Sunday show. We saw him at the after party because he had just woken up like an hour before. And he was like, "You know, I thought I liked you guys, but I don't think I'd like you very much anymore."
You really liked us yesterday.
I was like, "Well, nobody told you to have 12 of them." You know what I mean?
Well, that was good.
Yes, it was.
Oh, we had so much fun, and I have such warm, fond connections in San Antonio, and you know, remember in front of the Pegasus, there was always that big, ugly apartment building that was there? Well, it's not there now. And you can see, right through the lot, and there's this big, beautiful building, very gothic looking. And we were looking at it and looking at it and looking at it.
So what was that when it was built?
And I finally, after a couple of beers, I got brave and I walked over there and I just walked in like I owned the place and I started asking questions and the woman wanted to give me a tour of the building.
Cool.
Well, it turned out that it was a dormitory for nuns back in the 1920s. And then it became a hospital.
Oh, cool. Hmm.
And now it's apartments for
veterans
for disabled veterans.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually on the, how do you say, Behar County?
Bear County.
Okay, Bear County National Historical Registry.
The Historical Society bought the building and renovated it.
The same people who take care of the Alamo actually take care of this building. And I just thought that was the coolest thing.
Cool. And they're just a block or two from a gay bar. That's not
cool. Mm-hmm. And they have. do you remember the elevators in Thoroughly Modern Millie?
Uh-huh.
You know where they had the tap dance?
Yeah.
They have those old kind of elevators with the cage and the little cranky thing. And I was just
okay. Wait, did you really get in there and do a soft shoe? Come on.
Oh please.
No.
Kirby tap dance.
Well, yeah, if he got drunk enough, I've seen him do worse.
If he started tap dancing, he'd end up tap dancing on his nose.
What's the song?
Tap dancing on his
ears. I'm not sure I want to go here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this topic needs to be avoided. It's just
but every time but my point is every time we go to San Antonio we come away with something different. This time it was, you know, kind of the historical aspect of it. And I love old buildings. I love architecture
and a renewed love of Tensha.
Oh god. Oh my
yes,
god.
Yes, I heard about Tensha's numbers.
Oh my god,
shows.
I love that.
You know Tensha, the drag queen Tensha?
No.
She always does the curlers and the blacked out teeth and the obnoxious numbers.
Okay. She is so funny. There are things that Tensha does that no one else could get away with.
Oh, but Tensha out of drag, the boy is gorgeous.
Yeah, he's a beautiful boy.
He is gorgeous. I'm well, okay, boy, he's 40-ish. He's around our ages.
He's still younger than me.
That's a boy to me.
But, I was going to say, this one ain't close to that age.
Dog years, maybe.
The steam that is coming out of my ears is threatening to melt these headphones.
But no.
I like it. I'm going to remember the dog.
Okay,
dog
not
years
not more. Dog ears. Gerbil ears.
Gerbil ears.
Richard Gere. Where
that's
are
more
you?
Gay friendly. Yes, yes.
Well, it's more Richard Gere. That's all you know.
Well, at least we didn't say Nutria.
You're as hot as Richard Gere. Yeah.
At least we didn't say Nutria.
Then or now?
Yes.
Yes.
We're just going to say yes. He's actually still a damn good looking man.
100,000 comedians out of work, and these guys are trying to be funny.
Okay, so this blonde walked into a bar.
Ouch.
And then she walked into it again.
Ouch.
And then she walked into it again. And then the brunette said, honey, use the door.
But lady, yeah. This plane doesn't go to Hawaii. But seriously, the Houston Leather Boys, we've gone through some restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed to say that we've gone through some restructuring. We had some issues that we had to deal with. We've dealt with them. We're back. We're strong. We never really went away. We just kind of had to.
You privatized for a month.
Well,
or two.
we had to go into seclusion for a bit, just you know to
recoup,
yeah, to recoup and regroup. Yeah, but we are as strong as ever. We are actually having wonderful thoughts about what we want to do with the future.
Okay, Jimmy, why don't you cue up some Praga Khan for Kirby? I brought that special for him.
Is that like Shaka Khan?
No, Praga Khan, totally different.
I just had to say
if that. I tell you his real name, you'd laugh. That's why he goes by the name Praga Khan.
Oh, come on. Tell us the real name.
Nope, Praga Khan. That's Khan.
Probably couldn't pronounce it.
Praga Khan is the one with the big giant tick
is
on
it. Is that
the
Turkish guy, Khan?
No. But no, that Khan, he's actually from Canada.
I was actually thinking the Star Trek movie.
Nope.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
There is an artist named Khan. And he is from
Canada. I saw Superman 4 today for the first time ever.
There's another artist called Praga Khan who's been around since the 80s, and he's from Belgium. And then there's Tarkin. That's the one you're thinking of.
Tarkin, yeah.
Tarkin is from Turkey.
Tarkin I like.
Tarkin is, and God, is he a hot little
cub? Yes,
he
is.
It's a furry little sexy.
Before we go to break, since we were on the topic of Ace and the boys' participation at Ace, I have to say also, as a member of the board for HCC, that the Houston Leather Boys are a member club of the Houston Council of Clubs, the people who bring you Louis every year, and HCC, the board, did a cocktail.
Houston Council of Clubs.
Did a cocktail reception at Ace Weekend, and the boys were absolutely indispensable in assisting us in serving that cocktail. And
track number one, yeah.
Good job, boys.
So we're going to come back on that note of regrouping and restructuring, and we're going to talk about where the Houston Leather Boys are going. But for right now, we're going to listen to Praga Khan. It's a song called Love You Still, and it's right up
like
Kirby's alley.
I love that
listen
song.
To the words. Welcome back to Leather Ties on After Hours. We just listened to Praga Khan, Love You Still, and that
love
was
it.
That was a remix of Don't Go by Yaz.
Love it, love it, love it.
Alison Moyet, one of the best singers on the planet.
What do you mean one?
She is one of the best singers on the planet.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, personally, I think she's the best, but if I said
personally,
that,
I think she's the best.
And she just released a new album that's really phenomenal. It came out about 3 months ago. So if you like Alison Moyet, if you like Yaz, anything with Alison Moyet's name on it, go get it. We're here tonight with the Houston Leather Boys. I'm Daddy Bear Robert with Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
Baby Bear's in the house.
Yay.
And Kirby, Slave Kirby, and Boy JR are here from the Houston Leather Boys. And the boys were talking about before the little break that the boys kind of, Houston Leather Boys kind of,
have gone restructuring. Through some
restructuring. Well, I was going to say, you kind of retreated from public view, restructured, regrouped, and now you're back and forth.
Well,
so
we've never really retreated from public view. We just didn't do it as a group. We just didn't go out as a group.
Because I know y'all used to have Boys Night Out,
yeah,
and you'd do the Babel and everything like
right.
that. So,
well, we had some issues that within the club that we had to work out. We had to get those worked out. We had to get things cleaned up and reorganized. But we have I have to say, overall, the group of boys that we have, we pull together, and I think we're a stronger group than we've ever been.
Excellent, good to hear. So
I'd like to say something. I would like to comment on that. First, you're the first group that I've ever heard admit that publicly, and I'd like to congratulate you for saying that you had issues and that you worked them out. Congrats.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah. What do you
say? Well, one of the tenets in our mission statement is integrity. And how can you show integrity if you hide things from people?
Yeah. This is true.
I mean, everybody knows we went through some issues. Everybody knows. Why not be upfront and honest about it?
Well, a lot of people have integrity in their bylaws, and it doesn't mean anything. So.
Right.
This is true. But you know, we being boys,
I can attest to that.
We being a group of submissives, we are held to a different standard than most everyone else is.
No, if it's in your bylaws, it should be. It
no,
should
actually,
be held
no.
To.
Wait, stop. I like what Boy Joe just said. He cut in and said, "You hold yourselves to a higher
exactly.
standard."
Exactly. Yeah. That was the point I was about to make.
That's what Boy Joe just said. You said everybody holds you to a higher standard, but y'all hold yourselves to a higher standard.
Well, we set the bar, and everybody looks at that bar that we set for ourselves as the litmus test,
and right? They all come up short.
No,
pretty much.
Not all.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to agree
with
that.
I mean, I don't agree with that only because of the fact that everybody is in a different place on their leather journey, and some people are here, some people are there, and I'm not going to judge people for where they are as long as they continue to live, learn, experience, and educate themselves.
But the definition of integrity does mean to judge yourself and to
yes.
keep up to standards,
but
certain standards.
And how do you do that? You continue the journey. You continue your education. It's lifelong. It's never ending.
Well, for example, part of what I'm talking about being held to a higher standard, there was a rumor, I shall say, floating around about any of the boys caught playing with other people will be immediately removed from the group. Okay. That was never said by anybody.
That's
the only
nowhere
the,
in any
the
bylaw,
only thing,
nothing.
The, yeah. The only thing I told anybody was, I don't care what you do, just don't wear your colors. That's all I said.
Yeah.
And it was taken, and somebody ran with it. Mm. I shall say, you know.
Oh, and that ended up being an issue some years ago in the entire community. There was a big raging debate about whether or not during Louis people should be allowed to do pinnings while wearing their club colors. And one of the things that was actually that came out of that was that everything you do while you are wearing your club colors
reflects.
Your club is doing
reflects on your club.
Yeah.
And I know that NLA has actually put it in NLA, National Leather Association Houston, has actually put it into their bylaws that if you're going to be doing anything such as a Texas pinning or anything like that,
remove your colors.
You must remove your colors.
It is also
last
in the
year,
bylaws of Houston Leather Boys.
Yes, last year at Louis, one of the members of NLA actually had his colors taken away from him because he did a pinning wearing his colors.
Well, good for NLA.
And he had to actually get up, apologize to the entire organization, and make amends before he got his colors back.
Well, good for NLA
for
following through on that.
Yes. So,
that's commendable. Some integrity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the fact is, he was new to the club, and I quote, he said he didn't know. I'm sorry, you get a copy of the bylaws.
That's not always true. That's just like a consent form. People don't read them.
That's exactly my point. You need to know what you're getting into. Yeah. It's called educating yourself.
You're not handed a copy. You're told where you can get them. And a lot of people don't even bother to download them.
Yeah, but also at NLA, they actually keep copies on hand. So if you don't have them, you can go up to a board member and say, hey, I need a copy of the bylaws here. Take a copy with you. Or get them online, whichever is easier for you.
If you don't have a computer, they'll give you a copy.
But, I mean, this was also somebody who had joined before Louis, and it was brought up at three separate meetings. Do not do this.
Right.
So,
and that, see, and as far as that rumor goes about something that I said that I never said, the only thing I said was, I don't care what you do, just don't wear your colors doing it.
The way I look at it, if you're going to buy into every rumor and every little bit of gossip, get out of my face, you know? And I think the one thing the Houston Leather Boys have proven over the years is no matter what the gossip or the rumor or, you know, the fire that people try to start, it's... You have proven yourselves by just continuing to stand up for your beliefs and stand up to your mission statement. And you don't even have to address the rumor or the gossip. You literally just have to be yourselves and you prove it wrong.
Well, 99% of the rumors we just don't even acknowledge.
Well, yeah. Because literally being yourselves and doing what you do, you prove the rumors wrong.
Right.
So there's no point in addressing a rumor because when you address it, then it becomes true.
Okay.
So it's not worth the effort.
On that note, can I talk about what we have talked about planning for the future?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Where are the boys going? What are your goals? What are you planning to do?
We're actually looking forward to getting back into being more involved in the community. As I said, you know, during our restructuring, we did have to pull away from the community for a while in order to resolve some issues and restructure. But now that we have those issues resolved, we are looking so forward to getting back into the community and doing the work that we have been thus far known for. One of the things in particular that I would like to stress is that we had never bought into this thing that most clubs are into. Is like, well, you didn't do a cocktail reception for us, so we're not going to do one for you. We haven't done a cocktail reception for anybody in so long, we've almost forgotten how to, and thanks to going to San Antonio and doing Ace, we kind of got our mojo back, so we're looking forward to doing that. And, you know, please... We just don't buy into the whole, you know, you do something for me, we'll do something for you. We do something for everybody regardless.
We're not asking
for anything in return. We don't want people to
it's not the I scratch your back, you scratch mine mentality.
Right. If we're able to do it and it's something that fits within our frame of what our group is all about, then we will sit down, we will discuss it, and we will decide what if it's viable for us to do. If not, then we'll politely decline. That doesn't mean that we're you know pushing somebody aside and saying we never want to work with you again. It's just that it's just not a good time.
But it's also depending on what they're asking. It's something, I'm sorry, that we just are not able to do or something we're not comfortable doing.
Right. There have been a couple of requests recently that came up that I had to say, well, you know, that's not really what we're all about, but thank you for thinking of us.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
I can think of one, and I'm not going to mention a name. One group that asked you if you would like to do a cocktail party for their anniversary, and you had to say no, and it wasn't because you didn't want to, but because your work schedules prevented any of the boys from even attending.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it may not be a matter of we don't like you, we're not doing that. It just
may be a scheduling conflict. Yeah.
And as I said earlier, there have been issues where we wanted to do something, but we just couldn't work out the timing because of conflicting work schedules. We all work for a living. All of the members of Houston Leather Boys, we all work for a living. None of us have the luxury of
being kept boys.
Well, I wouldn't do that anyway. I don't think any of us would, really.
I don't think so, no.
That's a disgusting way to live.
Too much self-respect for that.
But,
we actually work for a living.
Yeah, we do. We work for a living. And you know, conflicting work schedules, things happen. You can't help that. Where was I going? I don't know. So the boys...
I don't know where you're going either.
Hell in a handbasket.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to start calling you Toto.
Yeah, where are we going and what's with this handbasket?
Yeah.
Right. Why is it warm in here? You know?
Did the AC go out?
but we are looking forward to getting back involved with the community.
So basically, the boys are back with a vengeance, and you're out to prove it.
Yeah. One thing I would like to do, and this is something that has been eating at me for actually a couple of months now. I would like to offer my personal apology to everyone out there who was looking forward to the boys' birthday party this year. Again, conflicting work schedules. We just couldn't work it out, and for that, I apologize. And for those of you who are anticipating next year's party, it's going to be 2 years rolled into one. So,
I may be letting the cat out of the bag, but there might be There might be an unscheduled, not really our birthday, but we're celebrating anyway kind of a party.
Yeah,
the Houston Leather Boys' unbirthday.
Well, it's
you
it's,
have 364 unbirthdays. Well, you only have one birthday.
Well, you know, so. you know how the debutantes and you know these major cities, how they have their little cotillions. Yeah. You know, just you know to introduce themselves.
Or you're gonna have a boytillion.
Yeah, we're gonna have a boytillion. That's what we're planning. A boytillion.
Okay, I want to hear more about that when y'all get that plan.
Oh, I could just see it. All the boys in tiaras.
Lots of yellow.
Oh no.
Ooh. Okay, Kirby just spoke my language.
Lots of yellow.
Damn it, and that's not the song I'm going to play tonight for Jimmy. We're going to be playing Red tonight just for Jimmy because I know that's his favorite song.
I love that song.
What song?
Or would you rather hear Yellow?
Red. Yellow is my second favorite.
Yes, so. But this is off of my last album.
But Jimmy, Yellow clashes with Blush. It's just not working, dear.
Really?
Screw it. The fact
that it just turns everything kind of that peachy salmon color, and that's just nasty.
I don't wear it.
You'd look like a
He doesn't wear it. He doesn't spill a drop.
Oh. Hey, screw it. The fat
man after my own heart.
Button. We're playing Apricot.
Oh. Okay, then we can play Apricot, Hanky. I'm sorry, Apricot, like they say down
so
here.
What's that yellow
gloss
like?
Rhymes with hair.
I know.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, Apricot Hanky is the Chevy Chaser song. So, and I performed that once, I think during Master of Leather I performed it.
Yes.
I performed Apricot Hanky, and I had all these chubs all over me all night long.
But, you know, and you were in heaven.
Big old chubby bears just coming up going, I love that song.
And you were in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I spent...
Okay, we're going to leave this up to Jimmy. Do you want to listen to Red? Do you want to listen to Yellow? Do you want to listen to Apricot?
Yellow.
Woohoo!
Jimmy wants to hear Yellow. I want to thank the Houston Leather Boys for being in the studio tonight on Leather Ties.
Thank you, Daddy Bear.
With Master Buzz.
Hello.
Baby Bear. Thank you, Kirby. Thank you, Boy Joe. We're going to head out with Yellow Hanky.
Do you want the,
good night
do you want
and
the
big
remix
balls.
Or the regular?
Do we? Oh, Jimmy, the remix. Nah. The remix is like seven and a half minutes long. Do the original version.
Yeah, I've had enough caffeine. I'm awake now.
Here we go.
Thank you.
listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. A couple of PSAs, and then we're coming back with Roundtable.
90.1 FM and Howl in the Blues proudly present A Howl in the Heights. Hey, this is the Blues Hound inviting you to join us on Sunday, September 27th at Dan Electro's Guitar Bar, located at 1031 East 24th Street in the Heights. This is going to be a special show benefiting your listener-sponsored community radio, 90.1 FM. $10 is going to get you in the door to hear the music of the Space City Aces and the Brad Absher Band. Once again, that's A Howl in the Heights, Sunday, September 27th from 4 to 7. Doors open at 3. Come on, get off the porch and run with the big dogs. Ow! KPFT Houston.
On the World Cafe, we're visited by a lot of musicians, from the latest blogger buzz bands to time-tested troubadours. The World Cafe is a place where artists come to relax and share their music over interesting conversation.
Did you realize in Texas you are considered legally married by publicly introducing a person as your husband or wife three times?
I'm David Dye. Join us on the next World Cafe.
Tune in to World Cafe weekdays at noon and visit kpft.org for a complete schedule of upcoming World Cafe guests. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Ooh, I am so glad that World Cafe is back. I love that show.
That's part of the big switch that occurred
a couple of weeks ago
yeah, with the daytime weekday programming here on KPFT. You know, jumbled everything around.
Yeah, I think David Dye is excellent, and it's a really, really fun show.
So, yeah, it's interesting now. Before it was, I was going into work, I would catch the very first part of BBC at 8 a.m. And now I get out there early enough, I'm catching the very last part of BBC, so I'm actually listening to international sports.
Oh.
You know, soccer and cricket, and, you know, all those weird sports. And then
Well, cricket is odd.
Okay, my family's very big into soccer. I'm a former referee.
Okay.
At about this size, too.
Okay.
In high school and college, I was a soccer referee.
Mm-hmm.
Not World Cup level. I did kids up to adults.
Yeah. And still do.
Jimmy moved over a bit.
Oops. Yes. Soccer referee.
Bitch, I'm going to give you a red card and kick your ass out of here. I ain't afraid about giving out red cards. I was known for that. That was my own little power trip.
I see.
I think I threw my father out of a game once. I ain't scared.
I thought the red card was an invitation to do something else.
No, it was another F you.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, no.
Now, where were we going with this?
I thought he said something about kids to adults.
Oh, we were talking about, he didn't have the jewel case up.
Jewels? Case?
Yeah, you too.
So there was two fingers there.
I know we're talking what British.
What was that, like a read between the lines?
That was CD number three.
It's like the British two finger with a one finger extra. It's like, I'm screwing you on both sides of the pond. There. No.
Well.
Don't forget the posters I put behind there.
What'd you say, W?
Where were you going with this?
We were talking about BBC.
Oh, yeah.
And soccer and cricket.
Soccer. And cricket.
Yeah, international sports.
And after a while, sometimes I'll actually see cricket being played out in the suburbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a cricket field.
Yeah.
Out in...
Really?
Suburban town, a suburban northwest at Matskee Park.
I particularly like Ruggers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we still got to talk to them about getting them in. All right, who's in here for roundtable?
I don't know. Everybody.
Well, I'm here.
Don't you escape. We'll hold you down and shave you bald.
Ooh.
From head to toe.
Ooh.
Well, I'm threatening him with a good time.
Can I help?
Because that hasn't happened before.
No, I'm sure not.
Never.
I'm always starting about shaving me, so I tell them they have to talk to Robert about that. Though.
Last time somebody tried to shave me, I asked you in whose army.
Robert said it was okay to do it.
Break out.
I thought you did it for charity one time.
No, I had my head shaved on stage for charity.
Yeah.
And kept it shaved for 9 months.
Oh, my goodness.
That was different than body hair.
Yeah, that was they wanted to shave my chest.
Well, at least it wasn't body waxing.
Yeah, you and whose army?
Oh, yeah, that would not be good.
No.
All right, so who's sticking around for Roundtable?
That's an excellent
question.
We've
got interesting stories, possibly.
Ooh.
We'll talk a little bit more about Lady Gaga and her yaya.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about that.
I thought that was Lady Marmalade.
No. This is a real yaya.
And we're going to play a little bit of a soap opera.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Some of it won't translate well on the radio show.
Well, you know.
The last part won't.
You mean I'm going to have to wash my hands for after this?
We have hand sanitizer for that.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. We are in trouble.
Why are we in trouble?
Hand sanitizer for that. Next thing,
I'm a nurse at heart. I can't help it.
Yeah, well, I'm a nurse at heart too. You know, so I mean, I just can't get accustomed to using the hand sanitizer for something other than the hands.
Well, it depends on how bad it is.
Oh, no. Let's not hear this and say that. No. Oh, should I answer that?
No, I got
you. Cool. Quit leaning back.
I'm always amazed watching Jimmy hit his knees that quickly.
Oh.
I was going to say the squeaky noise is Virgin bending over.
You're not used to it by now, Chris?
Well, you know,
Jimmy dropping to his knees?
I was a little busy at Louis, so I didn't keep as much tabs on him as needed to be.
He didn't have a choice.
But, oh, my.
Hey, that is for...
Booty.
Now, I did recognize that part there, him coughing.
You know,
someone has a question for Kirby.
Oh.
Kirby's not here.
No, he's not.
Kirby drove away.
Someone is.
Oh. All righty.
What was the question?
Yeah. Mayhaps we can get it answered from someone else.
Yes, we have someone else taking the line. Now, Daddy Bear Tichy's hit the ground.
Oh.
While you're down there.
actually.
Okay.
Can you say yin yang?
Yin yang.
Why are we calling that Chinese boy, you know?
All right, Chris.
Here is an update to one of the stories out of the Metroplex bar battles. This is the Fort Worth story.
Uh-oh.
TABC report finds 19 policy violations by agent supervisors at the Rainbow Lounge raid. Two agents and a sergeant from the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission committed a total of 19 policy violations related to a raid on the Rainbow Lounge in Fort Worth,
Oops.
According to an internal affairs investigation report released on Thursday.
That was intentional.
Mm. Violations committed by the two agents include participating in a joint operation with Fort Worth police without approval from a supervisor.
Whoops.
Like I said, it was intentional.
Failing to submit a complaint card against the Rainbow Lounge.
Uh-oh.
That was intentional.
Conducting bar inspections in unapproved attire.
Big whoops.
Failing to follow bar inspection procedures.
Uh-oh. Whoops.
Failing to report the use of force and injuries involving Chad Gibson, a Rainbow Lounge patron who sustained serious head injuries. And disrupting business during a bar inspection.
Okay.
The violations committed by Parsons, who was not at the scene of the raid since he had reportedly retired from the agency, involved failing to take appropriate action against Aller and Chapman, failing to ensure that Aller and Chapman filed the necessary reports, and failing to notify the sergeant supervisors of the raid. Disciplinary action against the three TABC employees is pending, but because they have a right to file a written response to the report within 5 working days. TABC is also conducting a second separate investigation into the use of force by the agents that has not yet been completed.
And probably never
due to the aforementioned attack on a young man named Chad.
Yep. They. So this is a Yeah, we've been keeping an eye out on this, and I'll tell you, they're very interested. I've gotten some contact with some people up in Dallas who are glad to see that there's still stories about this floating around. Mm-hmm. This is something normally you would have seen swept under the rug.
Yeah, that something is actually being done about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good to see that we're seeing, you know, other things on this. You know, we heard the follow-up with the... was it Dallas
Eagle?
The Dallas Eagle mm-hmm. Bar report of where basically the bar owner's management said, "Oops," that what it really was is that they didn't have the
change of address.
Didn't
on
have
their
the change of
address
license.
On their liquor license.
They had given someone else had given an agent someone to do that work, and apparently they didn't do it, and so they had to move back their operations to the old bar until they got the stuff straightened away. Until moving back into the actual bar. Into their new location. But this is, you know, it's interesting to see that, you know, I don't know how long ago, you know, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have seen an investigation like this.
No.
And, you know, the report I read off of here was one that, you know, Jack Valinsky sent to LSA, which is off of, from the Dallas Voice. I saw one on another Yahoo group that I'm with that was from the CBS station in Fort Worth. That was covering the story. So we're talking about a gay bar raid that is making mainstream news, and they're following up on it.
Yeah. Modern day version of Stonewall?
Well, there was a lot of people were trying to put the similarity on that because it happened approximately around the anniversary of it. Some people said it was exactly on the anniversary. Some say it wasn't.
It was close
you
know, to
it was yeah the day before. Yeah, there was confusion on that at the beginning. But you know, there was a lot of people putting the similarities. Oh my God! Around the 40th anniversary of Stonewall. This weekend is Woodstock. I'm sorry. You went and did something like this, and that I think stirred a lot of the beginning part. In fact, they had, I think, the following weekend they had a rally, 1,000 or so people who went from the Rainbow Lounge down to
City Hall,
or was that? Yeah, it was at that. So they. Interesting that, you know, like I said, that we're seeing something like this.
You can't, I mean, it's literally come to that you can't hide these things the same way you could have even 5-10 years ago. I mean, so, you know, there are more and more reports on changing attitudes towards the gay community, and mostly because of the exposure that we have now in all kinds of media as to opposed to what it would have been like 20, 30, 40 years ago.
I think also what helped with that was the fact that just about everyone's cell phone now has mm-hmm. camera and video features. And I think when the reports came out and you saw video and you saw pictures of the force used, I think that is
made it a lot more real.
Yeah. It wasn't, hey, you know, here are these here's these three fine upstanding police officers, and you know, this fag says I roughed them up. Are you kidding me? I don't need to rough them up. And I think that probably mm-hmm. persuaded it more.
Video makes it harder to sweep under the carpet and ignore.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be kind of interesting to think what would have happened
at Stonewall.
At Stonewall,
if there would have been video.
Yeah.
You mean the thing is that the prevailing mainstream attitudes at the time, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
Because mainstream attitude was, oh well, it's just a bunch of fags.
Yeah.
Who cares? That was the prevailing attitude. Now the paradigm is beginning to shift, and it's going to be a slow process, but it's good to see that 41 years later, we're actually getting some mainstream coverage and people care about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mean it might have been entirely different if there'd been a news team on every street corner during the time of Stonewall?
It wouldn't have been any different.
No, and the other thing, too, is that Stonewall occurred in an era when homosexuality was still declared a mental disorder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that wasn't removed until 1974.
74. Yeah.
It was the same year I graduated high school, I remember.
Mm. Oh, is that long ago?
I am. Oh. We had enough high school age jokes last week when I came back from my reunion.
I left my whips at home for this?
Yes.
Yeah, we spent all last week talking about my 20th year reunion.
Hey, I had my 25th. I don't want to hear it. But 2 years ago.
Don't go away telling us stories.
I'd have to go away. I'd have to go halfway across the country to go to a 20th reunion in my case, and I'm not. No.
Now here's we didn't cover the story last week because it broke shortly before we went on air, and I didn't want to mix it in with the Hatch group that we had on here. But last week in Israel, a masked gunman walked into a gay youth center and started shooting people. Two Israelis were killed at the scene. One died later in hospital. Several more were injured. I'm not sure who the third person died. I know one was a 16-year-old girl, and one was a 24-year-old counselor at the event.
Did they say who?
They still have not found the gunman.
Do they have any organizational link at all?
Not that they're saying. They haven't found anything.
So nobody's taking credit?
No one has. But here's an interesting part with this. Let's see, what day was this? Doesn't say what day. At least 25,000 and perhaps as many as 70,000 people gathered in Tel Aviv's Rabin Square one evening for a rally in solidarity with Israelis LGBT community in honor of the victims of last weekend's shooting at the gay youth center in the city. Just think about that. That a country in so much turmoil with its neighbors and somewhat internally with Orthodox and progressives, 25,000 people showed up because somebody shot up a gay center.
I'll say this.
Doesn't surprise me.
Really. I don't practice my faith, mm-hmm. or I should say my heritage, but if you look back in history, the Jewish people mm-hmm. themselves have always been ahead progressively when it comes to issues.
Well, think about it. Israel was one of the first nations to lift the ban on gays in the military. Gays have been serving in the military in Israel for a good number of years now. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there is that kind of solidarity doesn't surprise
me. Either.
It's not as much that. It's the fact that I don't think we would see something like that here in the U.S.
No.
I don't, you know.
I do.
For the most part.
I think you would.
I don't know. I
think it depends on
I wouldn't see it in Houston. I could see it in New York. Maybe I could see it in San Francisco.
Yes.
I could see it in Los Angeles.
No, I wouldn't see it there. I would see it in some podunk little town in South Dakota or someplace like that, some small area in mid-America where there's still, like, you know.
You're trying to say, like, if Matthew Shepard happened nowadays, we would see.
Paul Broussard, Matthew Shepard, if that. I could see it happening again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems seeing that.
When you got a bunch of high school kids walking into Columbine with sawed-off shotguns, you get a bunch of kids going into a high school shooting up students and their students there themselves. What does that say? Yeah, they would walk into a gay youth center and start shooting people. Yeah. I can see it happen.
Well,
but again, I don't think it would happen in a big major metropolis. Like
I think what Chris was saying was the support that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's the part. Because they also include on this who have attended is Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Hodol. It's the president, Shimon Peres, education minister, family members of the victims, prominent Israel LGBT leaders, several performances by a couple of them are LGBT performers, and you know, some of the victims even were there.
See, I don't see it as being a shock, though, for that area.
I'm not saying it's a shock for there. I'm saying...
Would that happen here?
Would that happen... Here.
Would we have the same line of support happening after an event like that here?
If somebody walked in...
It would
in
depend on where it's at. If it's in a little town, forget it.
Yeah.
There's too many religious factions
against it here in this country. Even though we're supposed to be the land of the free, and that also means free from religion.
I couldn't see it happening in Vidor. I couldn't
no,
see
I
it
couldn't,
happening
in That's what I was getting ready to
in
say.
In Beaumont. I could see it happening in Dallas. I could see it happening in Houston.
I don't. I couldn't.
I could see it maybe in Los Angeles or New York or San Francisco or Seattle.
I don't think...
Or
Seattle,
Portland,
I could
even.
See it happening.
Portland, too.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm just too jaded with what I've seen here lately. in the Houston community.
There's no solidarity in our community. And if something like that happened, people would be afraid to rally, because especially if the gunman hadn't been caught, because if you go to the rally, who's to say this gunman isn't still out there looking to gun more people down? So people, the fear factor would keep people at home.
I still think there may not be that many, but I still think there are plenty of us that would go.
I would.
I mean, I'm not afraid of it.
But then I'm an old activist, too.
Now, there was...
I'm a younger activist.
There were threats.
Not much.
Yeah.
There were threats made. In fact, a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force unit was arrested on suspicion that he had threatened rally organizers on an online forum. While in custody, the soldier confessed to making the threats. Operators of the transportation system received telephone threats that an anonymous caller warned the grenades would be hurled at the attendants of the rally. It part that got me was the fact of, you know, anywhere from 25,000 to 70,000 people showing up to remember something in a country that sees acts of terrorism on a daily basis.
But people in Israel
makes them a little bit more numb to it than we are, because we haven't seen that kind of violence on our soil.
Yeah.
And it's not a regular happening here, so people, that fear factor still would keep them away.
Yeah.
You know, people threaten
in Israel, they're used to it.
Yeah, people threaten to hurl grenades here, and you hide at home hiding under your blankets. There, okay.
You come out and show them that it's not going to scare
you. You're only hurling a grenade at a different block this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference between, you know, what you did last week and what you're planning on doing
exactly.
in the future?
Well, I think it's also a matter of they're willing to die for their beliefs.
Exactly. Right?
They're willing to die to show their solidarity and to show their support for this group of people.
Yeah,
and well, like I said, there's a progressive.
I think people here are too vain and self-centered to be that.
Yeah, we've said on previous shows that there's really a lack of solidarity in the gay community here.
You know, we use the word terrorism. That word's been thrown around for almost 10 years now, like candy on Halloween. It's like, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm out in the community all the time, everywhere. I'm all over the place. And even in the dark at night, I go walking. Mm-hmm. And if you allow yourself to be afraid, if you allow yourself to think, I know, there could be some crazy buddy out there when I'm alone by myself. But if you refuse to be afraid, you know, they can only strike terror if you decide to be terrorized by what they do.
If you
keep out there and go on with your lives and make some noise when it happens to our friends and lovers and, you know, community, and you know, and yes, it would be nice if sometimes we acted more like a community, except, you know, on some day besides Pride Weekend.
Yeah, terrorism only works if you're terrified.
Exactly.
True.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, people generally view terrorism as on a group of people, and it can only be one person that's being terrorized.
Oh, now, and they use that word anytime some nut job goes off his medication and commits a crime. Oh, it's terrorism. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's not. It's just a nut job, and he forgot his meds.
Yeah.
Every so often, it's just some nut job. Who,
Let's go a little political here. This was an interesting little thing. Could Britain get an openly gay prime minister?
Oh, yeah, she's running, isn't she? And that woman?
No, that's Iceland. She already became prime minister.
No, but I thought there was a woman.
No, it's a man.
It's a guy?
Okay. Iceland elected the world's first openly gay prime minister earlier this year. Could Britain be next? British politics, put it mildly, different than American politics. The formation of British governments and their dissolutions is something few Americans understand. But there's a growing buzz in the press that Peter Mandelson, the openly gay first Secretary of State in the Labour Party government of British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, may be positioning himself to take the top jobs if the seemingly unpopular Brown steps down before the next national election.
House of Lords or House of Commons?
Commons.
Commons.
Yeah. I can see it happening.
I can see it happening.
I can see it happening.
For those of you who don't understand the way, basically, simplest version of explaining how British government works with that. If we had the British system here in the United States, Nancy Pelosi would be the president of the United States. That's the way, the easiest way of explaining it to people, the way Parliament works. Whichever party has or coalition of parties has the majority of the seats, they pick their leader for that party, and that person becomes the prime minister. So, like I said, to put it in the easiest terms to explain to people, basically Nancy Pelosi would be in charge of the country, which scares some
people. And Barack Obama would be a figurehead, as is Queen Elizabeth.
Yes.
You mean he's not already?
No, we got rid of the figurehead president last time.
Dick Cheney.
I have a scary idea that...
No. Let's not go there.
I have this scary idea that there's probably more people who know what 10 Downing Street is than they know where, what, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is.
I know where both of them are.
But...
and what they are.
And what
they one. But I'd still rather show up
at 21 Baker Street.
Yeah. 221
Sherlock
Baker
Holmes?
Street.
Oh, no. Sherlock Holmes address?
It's 221B Baker Street, by the way.
Sorry, a little seizure. So it'd be interesting, you know, this could be the chance that Britain will have two queens in charge.
Oh!
But, you know, I mean, it's...
No, they have one queen for show and then one queen that does the...
There would be Elizabeth and then the queen.
And then the
queen,
exactly. Would that be anything like the president and Mr. Reagan?
I just saw that kind of the story, and, you know, because, like I said, there was the talk about Iceland, you know, they were in political turmoil, and mm-hmm. they decided, well, let's put a lesbian in charge, and I think they're kind of turning their stuff around. Right now, Britain's got a lot of... they're having some controversy over with their MPs in all parties from this... I love how they call it a scheme, and it actually sounds like a scheme. Basically, they put in their expenses for when they're staying in London rather than back in their home constituencies. They're not paid a lot, so they get reimbursed for a lot of stuff, and so... one of them had charged to the national government moat cleaning, and light bulbs dirty movies and donuts
to the tune of what, like $80,000 or something.
A whole bunch of money. This was,
you know, it's got to be England when somebody has to have their moat cleaned.
That old boy is getting reimbursed for his boys' night out.
Yeah, basically. And,
wow.
And the part about it is, you know, here in the United States, when something like that happens, usually there's all the righteous indignation, but this crossed party line, everybody was doing it.
The
lobbyists pay for it here.
And that old boy is using his moat instead of his loo.
Well, at least it's not trillions of dollars.
Yeah, but it was, so they're having this big row about it, and... Big row, my God! I got to quit listening to the BBC so much.
Row,
but
now row.
Charge like £8,000 to have a swimming pool cleaned and all.
All these weird
That's
expenses.
That's a lot of money to clean a swimming pool.
And because it's cross party lines, there a lot of these leadership roles in both the government and what they call the shadow government, which is the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
They give them the same title, but they call it shadow. You know, the shadow mm-hmm. prime minister. And all that, you know, it's cross party lines, so no one can stand up and, you know, cast the first stone because everyone's pretty guilty on this stuff.
I could be wrong, but I seriously think Tony Blair would probably still be prime minister if it wasn't for George Bush.
Well, he's scheduled to get grilled soon because unlike us, they're planning on actually doing inquiries on why we got into the war and why are we still there and.
Here we talk about
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully somebody will get his day.
There are at least two foreign countries that have outstanding warrants for George Bush.
Yes.
Spain and Germany, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He sets foot on their soil, he's arrested.
Crimes against humanity, yes.
Yep, because they belong to the CCI.
So it's...
or ICC.
ICC, International Criminal Court.
Oops. Guess he won't be vacationing in at least two countries anytime soon. Nope.
But no, actually, those aren't under... Actually,
they're wholesome.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's through ICC. It's through national... It's through their federal courts in both Spain and Germany, because it's one of those things, the countries who got caught doing crimes against humanity and really serious human rights violations, once they changed regimes and wrote new constitutions, they put into their constitutions, hey, we're so opposed to this stuff now... we'll take any case anywhere in the world. We'll take jurisdiction on it. And that's why Germany and Spain and I think even Japan has got that mm-hmm. written in their constitution. Like, you know, we were so bad in the past, we're going to try and make amends for it in the future. And we'll take any one of these cases.
Did they happen to put out a warrant on Karl Rove while they were at it? Just wondering.
I think, some people tried to do a citizen's arrest. I don't know.
Shut up, President.
I don't know how.
Yeah, that'd be Cheney.
Yeah, they were in Cheney.
No, he was the puppet master.
I don't think Karl Rove, they have anything on an international level that they can direct him to. But there are talks about putting him for violating the CIA policy of releasing the name.
Well, I don't think W's even left his ranch yet, has he?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he can.
No, exactly. No, he actually lives in Dallas. Yeah. They bought a house in Dallas as well.
Same neighborhood as Daddy.
And Daddy lives here.
Daddy's got one house here in Houston.
Yeah.
He lives in Tanglewood?
River Oaks.
Of course he's going to have a residence here in Houston, because if he puts his house in Kennebunkport, Maine, is there, he'll have to pay income tax in the state of Maine, mm-hmm. where he doesn't
Poor
have
baby.
To live in Texas. No, he got that, and he also respectfully turned down the job he was offered at a hardware store in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Would he be smart enough to be able to know what to guide people to in a hardware store?
He's still trying to figure out what they mean by O-rings.
That's what I figured.
Well, you know, he's dealt with enough wing nuts and screw jobs lately.
He is a wing nut and a screw job.
I don't think he's intelligent to know what a wing nut is.
And I'm pretty sure he knows what a hammer is. He's certainly beaten enough people over the head with one.
That wasn't him. Cheney was our dictator. Bush was his meat puppet.
Yeah. Even Cheney's throwing him under the bus lately.
Yeah, that's true. Go figure.
It's only because he didn't get away with that hunting accident.
When Cheney was in office, he never said a damn word. Now that he's out of office, you can't shut him up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good God.
And one thing he said, you know, he's still pissed about Scooter Libby not getting pardoned.
When you got Libby on the table.
Staying in politics.
Yes.
I thought he was staying.
We have an openly gay candidate for mayor.
Woohoo. Wee.
Okay, but what are
staying in politics, you were saying.
hidden gay slur searched in search terms get campaign site blacklisted. Oops. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson is running for governor of Texas, but her new campaign website has already managed to get itself blocked from Yahoo and Google, stuffing the site with 2,000 plus hidden search terms, including Rick Perry Gay. It's a good way to get the wrong kind of attention.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I sure would not want to see her as governor.
Mm. Me either.
Now, she has, you know, between the two main Republicans, I mean, she has the worst hair.
Yeah.
And the worst attitude.
They don't call her Good Hair Prairie for nothing.
But
what the hell is that color anyway?
I don't know, but it matches her tail. It didn't come out of a dye bottle.
Adding a new item to the long list of political shenanigans that backfire once discovered, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson has decided to run for Texas governor against incumbent Rick Perry. And her new campaign website contained hidden text that read, Rick Perry Gay. The resulting flap led to the firing of the web development firm involved, drew heated responses from Perry's office, and perhaps worst of all, saw Hutchinson's campaign website yanked from Google search engines. Texas newspapers uncovered the hidden text last week. The Rick Perry Gay reference was only one of thousands of phrases tucked into the source code for Hutchinson's site, apparently to help draw search engine traffic.
Hutchinson's I don't understand computers.
Well, basically what it is there's... You explain it. You're the webby.
It's the HTML.
Not you, him. Do something with the web besides telling everyone to say the website's still there.
Basically what they're doing is they're... With any web search engine, they use certain key words or key phrases when you type it in. I mean, if you type in Google and you type in flag, you're going to pull up every flag in the country and then some.
Or you can even pull up fag.
In the code of the actual website, they have put these words into the code So if you go to Google or you go to Yahoo Search or Bing.com or whatever, and you type in the word gay, well, you're going to come up with Kay Bailey Hutchinson's website because it says Rick Perry gay in the code.
Hmm.
And it's basically, it's a redirect. And it redirects traffic to your website based on certain words you type in your search engine.
Well, hopefully too many gay people won't be voting for her in the first place. So,
yeah.
In the code. If you were looking online to try to find the new Bose headphones, her website would come up as an option.
Because
it was written in the code as a search engine word for her website.
Never ceases to amaze me how they'll throw each other.
What is she trying to garner the gay vote by doing that?
No, I think she's just trying to discredit Rick Perry by putting a rumor out there that he's gay.
I think she's trying to alienate
Republican Texans. Won't
well, if you type in "gay" and it redirects you to her site, what is she trying to? Is she
it's not going
to
be an automatic redirect. It means that
basically, if you type the words in, her website's going to. If you type in the word "gay," her website is going to show up in that list, and you're going to go, "Huh, I wonder why," and you're going to click on her website.
Right,
but that's also going to
courting the gay vote.
But that's also saying, though, too, if somebody types in Perry,
or the anti-gay vote.
Yeah.
If somebody types in Perry, it's also going to go to her.
Yeah,
that's where the issue is.
Well, no, I think it's the combination of the words. There is that rumor already that Rick Perry is gay.
But if you
seriously doubt it.
If you go to Google and you type in Rick and Steve, the happiest couple, and you're trying to get to logo.
He doesn't dress well enough.
Rick, Kay Bailey Hutchinson will probably end up on page 2 or page 3 of that Google search.
That's because he doesn't have valet anymore.
Rick.
We're not talking about. It's not going to be like the thing a couple years ago where you go to the Google search engine and you type in abject failure and say, "I'm feeling lucky," and it goes automatically to George Bush's White House page.
Right.
This is just something that if you click the "I'm feeling lucky," you may or may not get to Kay Bailey Hutchinson's. But if you decide to search on the internet, say, "Hey, I heard a rumor that Rick Perry's gay," and type in "Rick Perry gay," one of the options that will come up is going to be the Kay Bailey Hutchinson website.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, when Google pulled it from there.
When you
they blocked her website.
I think when you searched douchebag, it came up Carrie. Carrie.
That's the one that should come up Kay Bailey Hutchinson.
Exactly. That's exactly the one that should
be. That's saddlebag, anyway.
Hutchinson campaign initially told the Austin American Statesman that a vendor sold them a tool that generates phrases hourly or less in an attempt to divine the most frequently web searches made by individuals who search online using one or all of the terms Rick Perry, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, or Texas. So that's what it was. Supposedly this tool, when people typed in Rick Perry, you go, "Well, Rick Perry what? Governor Rick Perry." And enough people typed in Rick Perry gay, and so that's why the computer said, "Hey, we're going to put this in as a
part of the code."
I think she should be colostomy bag, but
for whatever reason, the Hutchinson campaign blamed the vendor who developed the site and they removed the Perry reference.
Now there's a gruesome picture.
Well, she's kind of gruesome to look at.
Or she wouldn't have the sense to get shoes to match, please.
Yeah, and Lady Anne is rolling over in her grave.
It's like, "Hey, Kay, it's 2009. The bullet get with the program. The bulletproof hair thing. It's over. It's done. Move on."
Well, we've already had our greatest governor. We won't have one like that ever again.
If it weren't for helmet hair, no drag queen would be able to work.
Right.
Well, we've lost the best governor we've ever had, and we will never have anything like that probably ever again. So
somebody needs to let her know what the rule is: the bigger the hair, the lower the morals.
As 4,000 drag queens.
Well, speaking in a way similar of
start
drag
storming.
Queens there. Mentioned about this earlier in the show. Lady Gaga has come out as being intersexed.
Gaga?
Mm-hmm.
Intersexed?
That's the new term for hermaphrodite.
Oh, okay. I figured that's what it meant. I've never heard
that's
that
like,
before.
That's like saying RuPaul is intersexed.
No. Lady Gaga has both male and female genitalia.
Prove it.
Like somebody else we know.
Right there's her penis.
Let's see.
Ooh!
Okay, so where's her vagina? Where's the kashlapas? I see the kashlapas too.
Quote, "It's not something I am ashamed about, it's just something I don't go around telling everyone. Yes, I have both male and female genitalia, but I consider myself female. It's just,
you know what?
Can she get herself pregnant?
Have boobs and a wiener too.
No,
it doesn't make them intersexed.
The DNA has
the difference. Is she was born this?
She was born this way. She
genetically.
This is genetic. It's a little bit of a penis. A I really doesn't interfere thing. With my life. The reason I haven't talked about it, it's not that big of a deal to me. Like,
literally.
Come on. It's not like we all go around talking about our vag.
Can we start calling her Hedwig now?
So no, can she doesn't have none.
So she can she be artificially inseminated by herself?
No, I think when we've talked about this in the past about this, majority of intersexed are...
Sterile. I know.
Yeah.
I just had to say that for the fun of it.
Yeah, think about the blue baby that would come out of that one.
Ooh. He is an RN. He knows.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's talk about our event. Yeah. It's a great opportunity to make our multiple gendered people feel more normal, more comfortable with their bodies. I'm sexy. I'm hot. I have both a poon and a peener. Big
oh
effing
my
deal.
God.
So she lady.
Who cares?
Color Lady Gaga now or Lady PP?
It's six of one, half a dozen of the other.
I thought she want to call her Lady Hedwig Gaga.
If she doesn't want to advertise it, why did she tell about it?
What happened was she was performing at a music in a music festival, and came out on a motorcycle, and was wearing a very short skirt and no panties.
Well, that's her fault.
And when she dismounted, as the
photograph.
Somebody
photograph
got a free shot?
Everybody got a free shot. And everyone was like, what is that? And so, you know, the video went around the internet saying, hey.
I said the same thing about Britney Spears.
keep a close eye at 1 minute and 10 seconds into the video, and you'll see something. And so people did, and they started asking questions. And so finally someone asked her of what this was. And came out as being hermaphrodite.
I was going to say, it's her strap-on. Yeah.
We both have the same idea.
Yeah, well, that's
scary. We're married, and we have the same ideas.
Kind of like the film, I Was a Teen Werewolf, with Michael J. Fox in it. There's a scene at the very end of the movie where there, you know, some guy, supposedly, has his shirt untucked, and you find out it ain't a guy, it's a girl.
Okay.
That was before he got the head on the slinky thing.
First of all,
right?
That was Teen Wolf.
Okay.
I Was a Teenage Werewolf had Michael Landon in it, and that was 30 years early. That was, the movie was 30 years earlier than Teen Wolf.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, you just got slammed, didn't you?
I like Michael G. Landon. Yeah, I like Michael Landon.
And Michael Landon was a lot cuter as a werewolf than Michael J. Fox. But okay,
yeah,
that's
we
another
won't go
issue
there
altogether.
All right, I got to go ahead back here to Europe here on this story.
Please.
I have to be a little careful with how I tell this story.
Uh-oh.
Well, you're in trouble now.
There's a lot of asterisks in here, so I'm probably going to be mispronouncing this city name. This comes from Metro UK in their weird section. Wank tells Fooking to get a grip.
Who? What?
I don't know how accurate this is, but I saw this and thought it was interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Foo King?
Fed, yeah, it's spelled the other way, but I'm pronouncing it this way so the FCC doesn't slap me.
P-H-U.
No.
No.
F-U-C-K-I-N-G.
Okay.
Fed up residents of the Austrian town of Fuking are being offered a helping hand by their German neighbors in a town called Wank. The people of Fuking have grown tired of English-speaking tourists acting out the village's name. And also, no doubt, of amused British journalists writing stories about it. But now the residents of the German town of Wank have told them to get a grasp of their opportunity. Jürgen Stoll, who runs the Wank guest house, said the people in Fuking should cash in on their fame.
Wait a minute. A citizen of Wank is not called a wanker?
Possibly.
Yeah. So does that mean a citizen of Fuke? Is called a
fooker.
Fooker.
And is the head of the convent there is at the mother fooker.
Literally.
I have okay.
Oh, that's
moving along.
I hope.
I have
no, I'm not having a movement at all. I've done that twice today already.
I have so many visitors here at the Wank Guest House that we have the mattresses all in a line in one big room for people to sleep in. Otherwise, I couldn't fit everyone in.
Whoa. Know, we're not going to go there either. That's just.
Can we say Daisy Chain?
It should say Insert.
When is this going to be like an X-rated version?
May Insert.
Wait.
No, okay. If the name helps bring tourists in, then why don't they cash in on it? All these credit crunch times, every little bit helps.
Why don't they just change the name of the damn town?
I don't know why. In summer, visitors can take hikes up the 1,780-meter Wank Mountain. Or if they prefer, they can take a four-seater Wank cable car that goes all the way to the peak. There are numerous opportunities to enjoy paragliding at Wank, and in winter, it's possible to go skiing on the Wank Piste.
Whole new meaning to slopes.
The local tourism chiefs say realizing that although the name meant nothing in German, it was a gold mine when it came to attracting English-speaking visitors. A Wank tourism spokesman said there are Wank postcards on sale, although people prefer to take their own Wank holiday snaps, standing beside the Welcome to Wank signs.
Where? I have a question.
Yeah?
You said that there's the Wank slope.
It curves to the left.
No, I was gonna say, is that like tenting?
Maybe. Fuking recently announced plans to install closed caption TV to deter tourists from lewd behavior besides the road signs.
Depends on how thick the blanket of snow is.
The mayor of Fuking, Franz Mendel, previously complained, "We don't find it funny. We just want to be left alone. We don't harm anyone, and we just want to live in peace."
Okay, how drunk was the person that named this town when they said, "Hey"?
Okay, if you think about it, in the native language, in the native tongue, that is exactly how that would be pronounced. The way you are pronouncing it,
yes,
that's the way it would be pronounced. We pronounce it differently because we speak a different language.
Yes. Yeah.
So that wasn't their intention when they named the town, because that's not a word they use.
Which just leaves me to the other question. What is the English translation of the name of their town?
I don't know, but
that would be an interesting thing to find out.
You know, because that's part of that translation stuff. I mean, we have a town named by Germans up in Minnesota called Hell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, Michigan. I'm sorry, it's Michigan, not Minnesota.
I was going to say Minnesota is hell. Oh.
But no,
that's like asking what would be the German German translation of Plano.
Yeah, but now it's...
Some things don't translate.
Yeah, and so this is, I just saw that story actually through...
Okay, so in German, what is the word for sexual intercourse?
Stoop.
Oh, okay. Stoop, that's right. I forgot that's Yiddish too. So never mind.
Made a million off of it.
But
Farfenugan.
it's one of those funny city names thing. And like I said, they even show a Google map showing how far it is from Wank to Fuking.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm still hearing.
The closest township to Fuking, is it Morplay? What is it?
I'll bring you this. I'll bring you a newspaper from Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm hearing Fuking, and I'm still wanting to order sesame chicken.
Wait, Intercourse, Pennsylvania, is that in Spooning County? What?
No.
Okay, Chris, what's next?
Oh, please tell me there's another story.
Actually, naming a town Intercourse, I think that would be better in Kentucky, because then you've got Intercourse, KY.
Yeah.
Well, they're all... But you wouldn't want to do that, because they already interbreed enough.
They have that... In the Intercourse Derby instead of Kentucky Derby.
There should be a sister town.
Intercourse, PA.
I know.
I don't think about that.
The jury just ripped everything.
I know a town in Missouri that has a radio station whose letters start with KY and whale. I asked my friend who lives there about that. I'm like, do they know that they're... are they aware that they're...
Well, there was that...
And they're like, yeah, we've been making a jokes about that for like 30 years now.
There was a radio station in Hawaii that was going to be given the call letters K-U-N-T. And
oops.
Once somebody alerted the station owner what it sounded like, they asked for new call letters.
What a shock.
The very first radio interview I did, I think I was 16, and it was on KRAB radio in Seattle.
How crabby is that?
Yeah, but the one in Hawaii would probably be an FCC violation.
Probably.
Yeah. Only if you said it.
Yes.
Right. On air.
Welcome to KUNT, the all-lesbian radio.
I think you just made a whole lot of people mad.
Well, you had to get that last look in, didn't you?
Wait a minute.
Actually, I think more of it. You have to add to that. It would be a lesbian country western station.
How many motorcycles and trikes are headed this way right now?
And four-wheel drives, too.
Okay. And four-wheel drives. I do not want to be on the receiving end of the flannel rage.
Without the benefit of KY.
I was not going to be able to play the little clip on there. A little bit of television history was made on Thursday as gay males kissed on daytime television. Also, a little bit of gay history that doesn't get mentioned in there much is the fact...
That was that soap you were talking about?
One Life to Live. Chris Evans and Brett Caldwell, I Want to Like Live, Hot Gay Cop Kiss. You can go to Tola Road and find a link to the video clip from One Life to Live's Thursday edition, or just watch on SoapNet.
I need to watch more soaps.
The interesting part about this is, like I said, there's a second bit of gay history that they're not mentioning in here. We have a gay character played by a gay actor.
Ooh.
The police officer in here, Oliver Fish, is played by Scott Evans, who is openly gay, is also the brother of Chris Evans. And so we have I think the last one was, Ellen? We had an openly gay actor playing an openly gay... I'm sorry. Hold on. I take that back.
It was on Queer as Fuck.
Chad Allen played a gay doctor on General Hospital After Hours.
But Queer as Folk was before that. Yeah. That had a gay actor playing a gay...
Yeah, only two.
We're talking
of them.
Network TV.
Yeah, the young blonde boyfriend was actually an openly gay actor.
Yeah, and Peter Page.
Yes.
So, but we have to end with a story that we always love to end with here.
It's about stooping.
Because how stupid is that?
Stable owner catches...
Fooking again?
Finish the story.
Stable owner catches man having sex with horse again.
Who?
Again?
A South Carolina man was charged with having sex with a horse after the animal's owner caught in the act on videotape.
Second time, same horse.
I thought it was the third time now.
No, he's not on the three strikes yet.
Oh, okay.
Then stalked the stable and caught him with shotgun point. It wasn't the first time that Rodel Vereen was been charged. He pled guilty last year to having sex with the same horse after the owner, Barbara Kinley, found him in the same stable. He was then sentenced to probation and placed on the state sex offender list.
I thought we talked about this last month.
I say give him a marriage license and throw rice.
No, it wasn't the first time.
That was the first report.
I wonder if this means he was put on Megan's list.
Wait a second. Didn't we talk about this last month?
No, this is a newer story. He was caught a second time with this.
Yes, he was just arrested again a year later with the same horse.
No. We didn't. Last month we didn't talk about the first episode.
No.
We talked about the second episode.
No, this story just hit now. It must have been another guy screwing horses.
Some people have no social life, apparently.
Oh, having a ceremony is all the rage now.
And what was the name of the horse? Sarah Palin?
No! If the mayor drops a foal, are they going to call her Winnie?
Ooh.
Oh, no.
All right, Chris.
Ooh.
Yeah, I certainly wish they would.
They put him on a sex offender list?
Yes.
Yes. He should be.
For stooping a horse.
So,
well, the horse didn't consent.
How old was the horse?
How do we know?
The horse was 21, so it was old enough.
I'm sorry, the horse probably didn't even feel it. Please.
Was he stooping or was the horse stooping?
Yeah, who was caught in the compromising position
I'm guessing if the horse was doing the stooping, that could be have bigger problems.
Well, Catherine the Great went through that, so we're not going to go there.
I would say it was probably he was doing it because the horse was acting strange and getting infections.
Well, no, I just want to know who would boff Joan Rivers at that age.
And the horse must not have felt it, because any horse who had actually felt that would have given him two horseshoes to the...
A horse is a horse is a horse, of course.
But, you know, as they said...
He would have two permanent marks.
I mean, the horse could not have consented. You know, the horse could not say yay or nay.
But he did it anyway.
He faces up to 5 years if convicted. Vereen was already on probation after pleading guilty to buggery last year and was sentenced to 3 years probation, ordered to stay away from the Lazy Bee stables, and declared a sex offender. He remains in jail awaiting a hearing to determine if he violated his probation.
Wouldn't it be rape because the horse said nay?
That mean that it's a male horse?
Well, the horse's name is Sugar. That would...
But I think the problem is the horse has a lisp, and so it was trying to say nay, but it was going yay.
But it still would be counted as rape, even with
a
lisp.
If it had a lisp, then it was a male horse, right?
Oh, God.
It never mentions...
The gender.
Okay, so
there's
under,
so many
under the
people
policy
who really
that we said
need
last
a social
week,
life.
Because of the fact they're not saying it's a male horse, it must be a female horse. You know, because they want the scandalous effect of saying that not only was he screwing a horse, but he was screwing a male horse.
Oh, okay.
So if it was, under the way they say it, there, you know, if you're doing something like that,
Or maybe they're just trying to protect the horse.
No, no, because
trying to protect
the
names
wrong.
Of the horse will be changed to protect the.
No, because here's a picture of the horse, and you never show the picture or the name of the victim in a sexual assault. And here they show her picture and her name of Sugar.
Well, so it must have been Sarah Palin then.
That's the alleged.
Well, that's probably because, you know, it's easier to tell a human face from any number of horses.
I would have thought more along the lines of Princess Margaret, but...
What, Chris?
He couldn't have helped it. This happened in Horry County.
Oh, no.
Hand to God, right there.
Boo, yes.
Isn't it time to go?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is After Hours. We are getting to the top of the hour. Stay tuned for Zydeco Pa Sale.
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
Buonanotte. Blessed be.
We thank you for joining.
I'd say goodnight, kids, too, but I don't have any.
I've got kids.
Mine are grounded. They can't hear that. This has been After Hours here on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallus, and always the World Wide Web. We invite you to come on back and see us next week. We've got, like I said, we've got Zydeco Pa Sale coming at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for the rest of the KPFT programming. It's time now for your PSAs.
Hi, I'm David Dye from the World Cafe, and I'm sitting here surrounded by stacks of CDs. My iTunes is filled with MP3s, and I'm reading 3 music magazines. And this is just a normal day. I weed through all this to find out the best for you. On every World Cafe, we present new music you're going to love alongside old faves you already do. Oh, and we'll talk with a wide variety of artists from newcomers to Hall of Famers. The World Cafe. We make sense of a world of music.
Tune in to World Cafe weekdays at noon and visit kpft.org for a complete schedule of upcoming World Cafe guests. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
DIA presents Connect and Communicate, a seminar for South Asian teens, young adults, and parents on forming healthy relationships on Saturday, August 29th, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at University Center, University of Houston, main campus. Presenters include professionals from Child Builders, a Houston organization promoting positive social and emotional development in children, Montgomery Counters Women's Center, and Saheli Austin. The highlight of the seminar will be an interactive theater performance by Gita Kaulagi and Voices Against Violence, UT Austin. The group will demonstrate the day's themes, such as communication techniques, overt and covert messages, power and control issues affecting relationships, cultural conflicts, and stereotypes and biases. For information on community events, visit KPFT's events calendar at kpft.org. KPFT Houston. In the midst of
Wow!
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.